It's showtime.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Hi there. It's a pretty day today. I like pretty days. Do you like pretty days? Hello, I'm a fly.
The cast is taking its final bow. Here comes the audience now. The doors are open, they're on their way. Let's hear what they have to say.
Check this out.
I know you're gonna dig this.
Space! How low can you go?
Yeah!
Yeah! Hit it!
Turn it up!
What's up, Kevin and Dean? This is the one from Los Angeles, California. And I'd like to tell you something. The 90210 girls, those three girls need to shake their booties. They need to shake their booties. Because I like them. They're awesome. Booty looking. Too bootylicious. Later.
And now.
I'm a good listener and I can... I'm a good communicator.
Our feature presentation.
I just rewound the American Idol clip where Ryan Seacrest tries to high-five a blind man, and then I played it back in slow-mo, and it's even funnier. Ryan Seacrest is a stupid old allegedly, of course.
Yay!
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday, and it's the 15th of January.
My ringtone.
Phone rings, that's what that's rings. Comes out of it.
Very yeah. Nice. In honor of the month. Mm.
I will tell you, in church, though, it's a little embarrassing, but you should have your phone off in church anyway.
Probably.
We are going to take your phone calls for Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew. Great time to get in. If you always had something you wanted to share on the air, you want to talk to us, you have a question, you can call on any topic. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number. We'll do that in about a minute. Did you guys see the Michael Irvin story yesterday?
No, tell me. I love him.
Do you?
Oh, I mean, you'll really, in a bad way.
You'll really love what happened to him when they somebody attempted to carjack him yesterday. This is one of the most bizarre sports crime stories I've ever heard. Here's Fred Rogan.
Crazy story from Dallas where Michael Irvin averted a carjacker simply because he was Michael Irvin. The Cowboys Hall of Famer was in Dallas Monday night when a pickup truck pulled up next to his white SUV at a stoplight. The passenger pointed a gun at Irvin's head, and this is what happened.
He recognized me and he said, "Hey, Mike Irvin. What's up, Mike Irvin, man? We're big Cowboy fans." If he's talking about Cowboys, you know, let's start talking about the Cowboys, because I'm just trying to get his mind on something else so he doesn't pull that gun back up again.
Irvin said he's glad the man was a Cowboys fan.
How funny is that?
So they pointed the gun at him and then recognized him and then put the gun down and went on their way?
Yes, did not steal his car because he was Michael Irvin.
Wow.
Nice. Wow.
I guess it pays to be famous at that point. Now, had he been, say, Tony Romo, they would have stolen his car and beaten him to death.
Of course. Of course they would have, yeah.
But isn't that bizarre? I mean,
did he have his full-length fur on? Is he the one that wears the full fur?
No, I think Deion he does.
Sanders, but, I mean, Deion Sanders? He does dress quite...
He's fly.
Yeah. He is fly, as Bean says.
They didn't show pictures or video or anything from the actual event. He was just wearing a nice suit in the interview. But I just thought how funny that is that happened.
Yeah, that's best case scenario right there. I mean, as soon as the guy decides he's going to take your car, then there's really only a few outcomes. You give him your car, you get away, fine. You get hurt, or he recognizes you and high-fives you.
Or he recognizes you and decides, let's go to your house and see what else I can get.
Yeah, true.
Oh, that's a good point.
Could have gone even worse.
I guess the guy could have been a Redskins fan, too, which would have made it way worse if he got recognized. At least he got recognized, and it was by a Cowboys fan, so... Anyway, good times.
Not sure how many Redskin fans are in Dallas. I'll tell you that.
True.
All right, your phone calls right now. 1-800-520-1067. You call, you get on the air, we give you a prize.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
What it do, nephew?
Saturday, January the 24th is the date you'll want to be at Angel Stadium for the Monster Jam, brought to you by Advance Auto Parts and Ford Trucks. Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com, or you can win them right now on the Kevin and Bean Show.
That is a week from Saturday.
Yes, okay. That's right.
Let's see here. Let's start with Art from Moreno Valley. Good morning, Art.
What'd it do?
What'd it do?
What'd it do?
Hey, Lisa May.
Hello.
Hey, Rawr. Lisa. Hey.
how you do it.
Yeah.
What's going on?
I want to know what happened to the Kevin Bean theme song.
Died an unceremonious death.
It's 09. We need to bring 09 in with the theme song.
Mm.
Some people liked it. Some people hated it.
Yeah, it was bad on every level.
Well, it was supposed to be bad in our defense.
I know, but I don't think anyone buys that. You know what I mean?
Like, it really was the best we could do.
It was the best we could do, and we did try to make it, you know, really bad.
I like the part about Lisa May liking lettuce. So.
Well, she does like lettuce.
I do very, very much.
That is true.
Well, we might have to replay that sometime.
Give me Lisa's verse. Let's play that right here. Yes.
I like lettuce and bad TV. When it comes to cigarettes, I'm a real OG. Eat pop brownies, go see a play. I'm the traffic hottie named Lisa May. Traffic is the name of my game. There's a huge backup in my lane.
That's my ringtone.
That's a good choice. Thank you for the call. All right, let's go to Marcos in Montclair. Good morning, Marcos.
What's up? What it do, K-Rockers?
What it do?
What it do? What's happening?
All right, you know that accident on the freeway yesterday?
The 210? Yeah.
The 210, yeah.
Dude, screwed up my whole day.
How long were you stuck?
That was like a two and a half hour drive on a 20-minute drive home.
Wow. Oh, man, and you can't move. You just want to get out and abandon your car.
Man, I just started smoking.
It's either that or cry.
Smoking or smoking weed?
You know.
Yeah,
you know.
That's what I thought. That's
come on.
Because one would help, one wouldn't, I would guess.
I think you get a pass at that point.
God, man, that was horrible, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Watching all my fellow workers on the drive home, too, we're all just chit-chatting, you know, because we're all stuck in the same crap.
Yep. That's the worst part of living in this city. What was it? What was it, oil spill or something?
It was an overturned tanker and a spill. And
yeah, you guys know more than hours. I would.
Bad news. But you did the right thing, Marcos.
Yes, I did.
Lighten up. Thank you for the call. All right, let's go to Augie, who is calling from Moreno Valley. Good morning, Augie.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
Baby Boo.
How are you?
I'm pretty good, yourself?
Good.
What's going on?
I'm calling about Ryan Seacrest, man. Yesterday, watching American Idol, he does not like to touch the girls.
Boy, that's true.
He is super, super, and this is not being funny like we always say, oh, Ryan Seacrest is gay, allegedly, blah, blah, blah.
He really
is super uncomfortable, doesn't know how to act, body language is all strange and confused when he's around women.
He's good with the bros.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had a secret handshake going on with one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. All about the bros.
With the ladies.
Nothing.
Yeah, they come up to him and he doesn't, it's like an alien.
He just stiffens up.
He just doesn't know.
What do I do?
I stiffen up.
Very uncomfortable.
Yeah, he does. You're totally right. Thank you for the call.
Couple more hotties on last night's American Idol. And this is what's awesome about the internet, by the way, is almost every hot chick that shows up at American Idol, about 20 minutes after that, any bikini photo she ever took on the internet is somewhere, is posted.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
That is strong. We were talking about people who name their kid ridiculous things.
Mm-hmm.
And Lonnie is calling from Palmdale. Good morning, Lonnie.
Hey, good morning, Kevin and Beam. What up, baby boo?
What up, Lonnie?
What's going on?
Hey, nothing. I just want to know if you guys heard last night on the news that these kids were taken away because one of the kids' names was Ashley Aryan Nation and the boy's name was Adolf Hitler, and I can't remember the specifics on their last name, but the kids were taken away because of their name.
Yeah.
Even in New Jersey, that doesn't fly. You think anything goes there.
Yeah, you would think so, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that's a scary group of stupid people right there.
Yeah, it is stupid people, but you know what's funny is you get kids taken away from their parents all day long because of drugs and whatnot, and then 48 hours later, the kids are going back to their parents. I mean, I don't agree with the team, but I don't agree with them taking the kids away because the household and everything was clean. You know, they were being fed and whatnot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with you, although, you know, it hurts my heart to think of those kids being raised in a family, you know, like that, you know, teaching. But unfortunately, the government can't stop in and remove kids from every house where parents don't teach their kids what we would like them to teach their kids.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't agree with it either. I mean, it's 2009. I mean, people need to get over all that racial hate and whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, those people aren't going to help.
How can they actually? I mean, I don't know that. I hadn't heard that those kids were taken away. I'd heard about those names before. And, of course, the parents. Weren't the parents saying, oh, we're not.
Yeah, we're not.
Well, this is what's amazing. Is that, yeah, they said, first they asked about Adolf Hitler. And they said, well, it's not that we admire Hitler or anything. We just think it's a great name and nobody else has it. Okay?
Yes.
Which
yeah.
is true. But then if their other kid is named White Aryan Nation or something, then clearly the whole argument just falls apart. This is very fishy, this entire story.
Yeah, it's weak.
All right, there is some other reason why they maybe there was something else going on besides the names that that allowed the government to take the kids away. But I'd be surprised if that was just it too, just like the caller.
Yeah, it had to be something else.
Let's go to Matt in Encino. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, what's happening?
What it do,
baby boo?
Hey, Matt.
So I just bought a bag of the Takis Fuego. Those things are awesome.
Takis Fuego.
Yeah, I think they might even be better than hot Cheetos.
See, careful with that.
We've been hearing about them.
Don't just throw that around.
Yeah.
You know? Got to be respectful of the Cheetos.
Don't we need to try them?
You got to try them. They're little rolled up tortillas, and they taste amazing.
All right.
Okay.
All right, we're going to give them a taste.
We'll try, but let's not go over the top with their better blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Let's send Tiny Dancer out today to find us some this morning. How about
that?
All right.
Okay. Fantastic.
I'd like to hear about those as well. God, I sure love... I mean, I'm not just saying this because we all love hot Cheetos. I got really hooked on them over Christmas. I mean, like, it was my main staple.
Oh, good.
My number one diet food of my diet is now hot Cheetos.
That's healthy.
Bean should give advice on how to eat. We should do a segment where people call in and ask.
Psycho Bean?
Yep, Psycho Bean.
If the majority of your calories are coming from hot Cheetos right now, how is that working out for you in the bathroom?
I don't have any problem with it. I mean,
your
I got a pretty
booty
good
be
constitution
burning?
Anyway. Not at all.
This booty not be burning.
Wow.
I just love the taste. Mm. And sometimes you just start thinking about hot Cheetos and you start craving hot Cheetos and nothing else will do. You have to have hot Cheetos.
But that's because you haven't tried Takis, whatever they are, Takis.
Okay.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show. Thursday morning, we are going to talk about people who crash parties. You go where you don't have tickets to go?
Yes. Some people, Kevin, are very good at that.
We have Dr. Drew on the program today, coming in the studio talking about Sober House.
Oh, I'm excited about Sober House.
And Bean brought up a good thing yesterday, I think a little bit later in the show. He said, it's always worrisome to us when Dr. Drew comes into the studio because... Really, we don't know. This might be an intervention. And every time, there's always that, you know, that fear.
And it could be any of us.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking is, I don't know, man. Some days I think Ralph's next, and then some days it's Kevin. Some days it's Lisa.
Sure.
I just don't know who Dr. Drew is going to point at today.
Could be you and the hot Cheetos.
Could be. Maybe he's trying to wean me. I don't know.
That'd be good.
Ew.
Yeah, it did sound kind of sick, didn't it? Best of Craigslist on today's program.
Always interesting.
They have some really, really ridiculous ads and rants and stuff on Craigslist that are funny.
Yeah.
Barack Obama songs on the program today. Some really
the whole industry.
Really bad ones there. Kevin Bean, Citizen of the Day. Amy Winehouse stealing drinks at her resort. American Idol highlights.
Oh, good. I did
watch show
yesterday.
Last night.
You did?
I caught up.
Yeah.
I haven't watched... I watched the day before.
Okay.
And, you know.
And the girl in the bikini
had
a sweet ass?
I hate her, but yeah, she had a sweet ass.
Yeah.
Okay. She's hateable, though, Bean.
I agree.
Okay.
Yeah,
but she
I
had
agree.
A sweet ass.
She definitely, that's all I'm saying.
It was all over the place.
It's just sound down, that's all.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Hit the mute button and you'll be fine. Okay. All right, we'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph's Showbiz Beat. That is next.
Ralph Garman joins us in studio. Our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a new day. Good morning, Ralph. How are you?
DJ Omar Khan.
No, not DJ Omar Khan. Khan.
What about Khan?
He's gone? Ricardo Montalban, who, of course, played the legendary role of Kanoonian Singh.
Hey.
In The Wrath of Khan.
That was a good movie.
Star Trek II.
Yep.
Has passed away. Of course, he was known as Mr. Rourke, also on Fantasy Island. Remember
sure.
that show from the 70s?
Sure.
Bath, the plane, Bath.
Hello, midget.
Tattoo. Yes, Tattoo. Get everyone ready. Smiles, everyone. He has passed away at the age of 88 years old.
Mm.
He was a very local, very active, rather, in local theater and stuff, too. Has his own theater in Los Angeles, the Ricardo Montalban Theater. And was one of the first Latino movie stars back in the 40s and 50s. And had a very lengthy, very active career. So... We mourn his passing.
Yes, we do.
Bad day for sci-fi fans in general. Remember that series I was telling you about? The Prisoner, I was telling you about? That weird British fiction series about a spy who was sent to a mysterious island.
That's right.
To have the information that he has extracted from him.
Right.
And you said they're making a remake.
They're
retooling that for today.
Jim Caviezel's doing a television remake of that very popular cult series from England in the 60s. Well, Patrick McGoohan, the actor who played the lead in that series, has also passed away. You probably know him best, his recent work. I guess his biggest role was, remember Braveheart?
Mm-hmm.
King Edward, the guy, the evil king, the British king who throws his son out the window for being a pansy.
Yes.
That was Patrick McGoohan also. So he was 80 years old, passed away here in Los Angeles yesterday. So.
A lot of bad news today, Ralph.
A lot of bad news.
Bring us down, man.
You want some good news?
Yes.
Yeah.
Megan Fox thinks Salma Hayek is hot.
Yes, all right. She does.
Okay, now.
As we know by now, Megan Fox has a horrible body image.
Yeah, apparently.
I think she was, the more I think about that, I think she was just being funny.
I think she was trying to be funny and not doing very well.
Yeah.
She laid it on too thick and it became cloying, I think.
Yeah.
But
I have a 22-inch waist! She had to throw that out there, though.
Yeah.
Why do you hate?
Because she clearly has some
chicks.
Awareness. I don't. I love hot chicks.
You don't.
And I do.
You missed the point of hot chicks, I think.
She
missed the point.
She threw out the 22-inch waist, which clearly shows that she does have an awareness of her own desirability and something that is attractive to people, yet...
She was talking about the fact she's got a 22-inch waist in that cinched dress that she was wearing, that metallic dress she was wearing.
And I went back and watched that, Bean, and I think her delivery being so over-the-top and crazy is kind of like when Dave Grohl does the I Was in Nirvana. It was like over-the-top as she was leaving, this fleeting, like,
look, right.
By the way, I was 22, you know.
Yeah.
I want to give her the benefit of the doubt as well because she's Megan
tell.
Fox.
Yeah,
but I'm just saying, I'm a tranny. I'm a man. I look like Alan Alda. Shut up. You're hot and you know it. So clap your hands.
She's like the hot chick in the bikini on the American Idol. She just wanted attention.
Yes, exactly.
Really?
And deserves it. And should get it. Shut up. You missed the point of hot chicks. Bean missed the point.
Bean's just so well aware of his good looks and
that's
rippling muscles
yeah.
that he thinks everybody should be that.
Right. He wants everyone just to recognize their own beauty like Bean does. Speaking of American Idol, ratings are in for the first Idol show of season 8.
I know, Super Bowl-esque.
Well, the viewers are about 30 million. I mean, it's a pretty good number.
Most big shows are half that if they're lucky, right?
Yeah. But the ratings still have dipped. About 15% in the 18 to 49-year-old demo. And it's about 10% down from last year's debut, and those numbers weren't great. So America is growing a little weary of the phenomenon, however... Like you said, still monster viewership.
Yeah, at this rate, it'll go away about the time we die.
Oh, it'll be here long after we're gone. No, trust me.
This and the cockroaches.
That's right.
You did you watch last night, Ralph?
Oh, sure.
They pull you in, man. They got the guy whose wife died a month before the auditions.
Yeah.
And you just bawl it like a baby. Then they got the family that lost everything in a tornado or whatever that was in Memphis.
It was a tornado, yeah.
Ugh, it's just you can't. And these people, I mean, you just root for these people. You just fall in love with them. It's unbelievable how the connection you make with some of these contestants.
Nope.com.
So a guy's wife died 4 weeks before his audition, Kevin.
Was he happy about that?
No, he was shattered by that.
Shattered.
But I was
shattered.
Surprised to see how quickly he got over his wife's death once he got the ticket to Hollywood. He was much happier, seemed to be, hey, this is for you, baby, okay. Yeah, so anyway, make the plane arrangements. I'm going to need a car when I get there. He seemed to be moving on.
Well, it's time for him to move on. Yeah. A little Hollywood poon once he gets out here,
yeah.
That's all.
I think that's the vibe I got.
Life's for the living, man.
You know anybody who's afraid of doctors?
No, not exactly, no.
I know a few people who are scared to death of doctors. It always fascinated me.
Are they just upset about the possible bad news? Or
I can't get behind the mentality of someone who has that kind of fear because I've never experienced this. Personally, when it comes to doctors, I've never really had any qualms about taking care of business when it comes to my health. But it is more common than you think, and apparently Mickey Rourke suffers from it.
Yeah.
Of course, he seems a little crazy anyway.
Yeah, this is probably crazy. Low on the list of things that are honked up about Mickey Rourke.
But Mickey is scared to death of doctors. And while he was filming The Wrestler, if you've seen the movie, he plays an aging Hulk Hogan-type wrestler who in the 80s was huge and now is reduced to club fights and doing all kinds of horrible things in order just to keep his vague career alive, right? And there's a lot of physical stuff in the film, and he was in such serious pain while filming The Wrestler doing a lot of that physical activity, that he went to a chiropractor, an acupuncturist, about a dozen alternative therapy providers before he finally broke down to make an appointment with a doctor. So for months and months, he's in agony.
Just didn't want to go there.
Scared to death of doctors.
Well, he wasn't afraid of a plastic surgeon.
Obviously. Maybe that's why he's afraid of doctors.
Well,
what they did
be.
To his face. apparently, he's got the onset of arthritis. Doctor gave him some anti-inflammatory medication. In 2 days, he was cured.
That was it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Months of agony versus 2 days.
Wow.
Maybe we can talk to people who are scared of doctors who have never gone to a doctor or
it's a great idea.
Or have gone through horrible sickness and illness because they wouldn't go. Seems like, you know, go to a doctor, people.
It does seem like that.
You know who's not afraid of doctors? Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah.
Apparently, one of the reasons she's looking so good these days, according to In Touch magazine, is she goes to a doctor to get lipodissolve. Are you familiar with this?
I've heard of it.
These are injections that melt fat under your skin.
That seems bad.
I don't think that works.
That seems good.
Mike, does that work?
I don't know enough about it. I've heard about it, but I don't know if it works or not.
According to In Touch magazine, Jennifer has had it done to her thighs and butt.
Okay.
If she's proof, then it's working.
She looks good.
She's never looked better.
Sign me up. She's insecure about those areas of her body and has had lipodissolve injections there to dissolve the fat.
It just seems like if that worked, we would all know about it.
It does. I agree. Remember the ask a plastic surgeon?
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Ray, who was in here?
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Alex said she asked him about that, and he said it's shaky, needs some more research.
So if he says it's shaky.
Yeah, no kidding.
If you ever watch his show, he'll do anything. Good news for Dave the King of Mexico. Gossip Girl's getting a spinoff. Gossip
that's
Girl.
So good.
I can't wait. I hope it gets more gossipy.
More girls.
CW has announced that they are going to do a new show focused on the younger version of Lily Vanderwoodson.
Vanderwoodson?
I'm so glad that Lily Vanderwoodson's finally getting her own attention
about
on that
time.
Show.
Isn't that the character that Kelly Rutherford plays, who's in all the trouble with the show, who's in danger of getting fired?
Well, yes, it is, 14-year-old girl.
Turns out it is.
Yeah. The show will focus on her as a teenager in L.A. in the 80s.
Ah.
So it's a flashback 80s era show. So you get to see young girls in the 80s. Who would like that? Who would enjoy that show?
Nobody I can think of.
I can't think of anyone either. Apparently, they're going to do what they call a backdoor pilot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Come on.
Man,
I rented that over the weekend.
Which is when they take an episode of an existing series and they use the pilot as an episode of that. So apparently, they'll be doing a flashback episode of Gossip Girl featuring this new actress with this storyline as the pilot for the spinoff series in May. So you can check it out then.
What's interesting to me about this is the Gossip Girl is not a hit show.
No.
It is anemic ratings at best.
No.
Yet they're talking about spinning it off.
CW wants more shows that underperform, apparently.
Yeah.
So they're going to spin it off.
No show, though, especially a show that doesn't get viewers, gets more of their stars in magazines.
It's true.
Us Weekly and those magazines are just page-to-page Gossip Girl.
They are very popular, the cast of Gossip Girl.
King of Mexico, why do you like it?
I'm just rad.
All right. Chase Crawford and Blake Lively and
Penn Badgley.
Penn Badgley.
Leighton Meester.
Leighton Meester. Other made-up names. And good news for No Doubt fans. Gwen Stefani has told Roger Friedman of the Fox News that the band's reuniting to tour before they head back into the studio for their next album. So we'll get to see some live No Doubt on stage soon.
Awesome.
That is very exciting. They were hanging out at Acoustic Christmas.
They were.
The kids.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw, they were rehearsing backstage, Ralph.
No.
Yes, they were.
Look at your watch now. You're a super hot female.
Yeah.
You got $1 million contract,
mm-hmm.
and you're still waiting for your hot track.
Just a little more practice needed.
They haven't lost a step, I don't think.
Yeah, they shouldn't let Tom sing lead. Apparently that's the decision they've made now. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Regina King is 38 years old today. Ernie Reyes Jr. of Surf Ninjas is 37.
Yes.
And Eddie Cahill from CSI New York is 31. Dave came next to warned me it was the worst birthday list ever, and I didn't believe him, but apparently he was right. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
What's going on with your pal Amy Winehouse, Kevin?
Well, she seems bad, first of all. You know, she had a huge, huge, huge drug problem.
Oh.
Well, now she's given up the drugs, but she is now drinking heavily still.
Mm-hmm.
And she spent, like, I don't know, 3 weeks now? Is it longer than
she's
that?
She's been there a long time.
At St. Lucia Resort, which I think is in the Caribbean.
I think you're right.
And just days after she gave an emotional interview, she claimed she was entirely off drugs, but she, of course, still drinking. And she was photographed on her hands and knees at the resort, crawling around on the floor because they had cut her off. They wouldn't give her any more alcohol. And she was trying to find people who had purchased alcohol, and it was on their table, and she would climb and walk up and kind of steal their drink and then run away.
Oh, no.
So she could get alcohol.
Oh, no.
Because the resort wouldn't give her any more.
That sounds like she's got a little bit of a problem. But fortunately, they do have phones in that part of the world, and producer Alex has lined up the beautiful flower that is Miss Amy Winehouse on the phone with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Trunk Era. Good morning, Amy.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Good. We're looking for Amy Winehouse, please.
This is Amy Winehouse. Oh, you sound like a man. I know, but I'm still Amy Winehouse. Let's move on.
Well, Amy, what about the report that Kevin was reading from that you are, in fact, stealing drinks from other customers at the resort where you're staying in the Caribbean?
Oh, that's crazy. That's crazy talk.
Well, they have pictures of you crawling on the ground.
Oh. I lost the contact.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize you wore contacts.
I just started.
They say that you're like a squirrel looking for a nut as you're flitting all around the resort trying to steal drinks without the management seeing you.
Well. Look, that's crazy, because first of all, I don't even like nuts.
Right. No.
Well, no, that's like a metaphor. With a nut. Yeah.
Well, some nuts I like, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Some nuts.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. All right. Hey,
tentacles.
Keith Rich. Right. We got that. We understand.
Tentacles I like.
Right. We get it. We got that.
All right. We got it. Don't even miss it.
All right, the report says that you have also been openly smoking marijuana out by the pool, which, of course, is not allowed.
Define openly.
So that everyone can see you.
Oh, yeah, I've been doing that. Yeah. Because, look, I've... drinking and smoking marijuana is like being sober for me.
Well, I guess that's
Think
true.
Think about it.
Yeah.
I used to inject heroin into my eyeballs.
This is a step up, then.
Exactly. This is practically sober.
Yeah. Practically.
For lack of a better word.
The resort says you show up for dinner barefoot in your bikini, even though there's a dress code.
Yeah.
That's not acceptable.
Yeah, I tried it the other way around with no bikini and shoes, but they like that even less.
I imagine.
Yeah.
You know, that's a great... I'm glad you brought that up, Amy, because a lot of us would prefer that you keep some of those clothes on so we don't accidentally come across naked pictures of you on the internet. It's very disturbing for us at home.
Listen, I'm a child of nature. I have to commune with nature. I have to feel... the breeze on me nipples.
Yeah.
And it gives me creative thoughts about nipples.
And then another guest claims you'll go and sit on your balcony and play your guitar topless while everyone else is trying to sleep.
Yeah.
That seems like a bad thing.
Well, no, because I have a gift I want to share with the world.
Uh-huh.
And so that's how I do it. And at night, when the chilly wind comes, I can actually pluck the strings with me nipples.
Oh, I didn't realize that was...
Remember how Hendrix would play with his teeth?
Sure.
I can play with my nipples.
Wow, very impressive.
I can hit a G chord.
That that doesn't sound sexy, I gotta be honest.
Well, you should see how I play the piano. You don't even want to know about that.
No, I don't.
Or the clarinet, for that matter.
It's a
wind instrument, you know.
Yeah, yes, we understand. We got that. Yeah,
sometimes it's
scary.
A passing wind instrument.
Oh, right. Come on, Amy.
Clear. It's very clear to us.
See me play a tuba.
All right.
It sounds like you are a terrible guest at this resort, and I'm sure that they are eager for you to leave.
They are eager for me to leave. I won't deny it.
Okay.
However, they are not eager for me to take my money with me.
Okay.
So as long as I keep paying, I think they'll let me keep staying.
They'll keep putting up with you?
Yeah, because I'm rich and drunk.
Rich and drunk,
which is a great combination for a business.
That's true. Now, what about this new boy toy that you've been photographed with down there in the Caribbean?
Oh, and, Josh.
Yeah, and how does your husband feel about it, Amy?
Well, first of all, he's soon to be my ex-husband.
That's true.
So I don't care how he feels about it, because, first of all, he has a serious drug problem.
Oh, does he?
And I cannot respect that in any way.
Is that right?
Yes.
What, you draw the line there?
I draw the line
at
other people's drug problems.
Wow, how about that?
So I'm in love. I've never been happier. And, oh, someone has a drink. Hey, give me that drink. I need that drink.
Amy?
Amy?
What's going on?
Someone walked by with a drink.
And you can't let that go.
And I've never been happier, as I was saying.
Sounds like it.
Yes. Now, if you excuse me, I have... She spilled some daiquiri on a cement. I need to go lick it up.
Oh, okay. We'll let you do that.
We'll let you do that.
Thank you.
All right. Supposed to be a new one from these guys sometime this year. Very excited about that.
Yeah, right.
Well, yeah. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 21 minutes after 6 o'clock.
Happy holidays and Merry Christmas and Kwanzaa and all the holidays into one.
Okay. Thank you very much, Roddy. We have a website here at K-Rock, and unbelievably, it's at krock.com. And for years, we used to mock it because, well, first of all, it didn't exist until well into the internet age. The internet was almost over by the time K-Rock got a blog.
We were the last radio station to get an internet page. That's true.
I don't think we're exaggerating.
No. No.
We used to, back in the day, like 10 years ago, we used to call little radio stations in Iowa that had websites and go, how did you do it? Because we can't seem to get one. Well, anyway, we've come a long way since then. And thanks to the hard work of our former producer, Lightning, and so many others that work on it, it's now a fantastic website. I mean, it's unbelievable to me how much great stuff is up there every single day. Video and audio and stories and music news and links and pictures and everything. Well, a lot of people don't know this because maybe you haven't been to this section or not, but there's also a great deal of blogging going on therock.com. Kat has a blog, and Sluggo has a blog, and a lot of us here on the Kevin and Bean Show have a blog. And in case you never go there and you didn't even realize it existed, we thought this might be an opportunity to kind of tell you what you've been missing.
The gold that you've been missing.
Yeah, wow. Boy, are you missing out.
Before we hear some of the tidbits that are currently posted at krock.com, Kevin, why is it that you hate blogs so much? Because I know you were down on my blog when I was running it, and you seem to be down on everybody who has a blog for some reason.
Most of it's just drivel, and it shows a disconnect between what you think and what people want to hear about.
You think we're self-important?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't imagine anyone cares, so I blog a lot. That's what I do. That's my New Year's resolution, is to blog less than last year.
I
think we're going to close with Kevin's blog because he has some very insightful comments. Why don't we start with one of my favorite blogs on the site is Lisa Mays. I check out Lisa Mays several times a week, and she always writes interesting stuff. And in fact, I emailed you, Lisa, about this post that I think you're going to read from right now.
You did. Okay. So I wrote this last week, and it's called My First Book Report of the New Year.
Oh, my God.
All right, Oprah. This is why I don't like blogs. Lisa's talking about a book.
Okay, so Lisa, though, who's someone you know and like and admire and are friends with, if she read a book that she thinks is interesting, why wouldn't you want her to share that information with you?
I don't put up every book I read. I put up ones that I actually think that our listeners and you might enjoy.
Maybe I'm just used to Bean, because he doesn't have that thought process. If it comes to his head, I do edit myself. Okay.
All right. I can't believe I'm actually giving you a book report, but I just read the most fascinating book, and since I can't stop talking about it, I thought perhaps I should tell you about it, and then maybe I can shut up. The book is called Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell, who also wrote The Tipping Point and Blink. He says the idea that if you live in this country and are smart enough and work hard enough, you too can be an astounding success is BS. What a relief, right?
Yeah.
According to Gladwell, although hard work and talent are important, equally important to success are things we have no control over, when and where we were born, our ethnic background, the way our parents treated us. I won't go into all the details, but it is a very interesting theory on why Asians do well in math, the real reason Bill Gates became a success, and why certain hockey players go pro and others don't, because of when they were born.
You would love that chapter, by the way.
Wait a minute.
This doesn't have the planets when they were born.
Okay. No.
When you were born in society or whatever?
No, it has to do with the year, the month that you were born, and the cutoff date for hockey leagues, junior hockey leagues.
Okay.
Read it. Mm. I'm telling you, and I didn't put this in there, but there's a whole thing about why Korean Airlines kept crashing.
Hey,
it's amazingly interesting stuff.
Wow. That's the best chapter.
Plus, it has death. This is fascinating stuff, and I find myself looking at all kinds of things in different ways. It's not a long book; it's easy to read. So check it out and let me know what you think. Love ya, Lisa.
See, now, you don't have any problem with that post, right, Kevin? I mean, that was interesting stuff. And somebody out there is going to go, hey, I would like to know more about those topics. I'm going to check out Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell.
Don't be so boring.
All right. I don't post as much as I oughta, but
no.
I do from time to time put up a little something, and usually it's when I'm irritated. I have to be honest that it really is venting because I'm too cheap for psychiatry. Hey, asshats, my blog begins from this past
Friday. Oh, God, I'm bored already.
I haven't even read it yet. Well, we got a couple of days of pretty heavy rain this week in Seattle, which I'm not complaining about, as it was a marked improvement over the many inches of snow we've seen over the past month. However, I couldn't help but notice as I drove around how many drivers...
You know what? I have to stop you. This has become boring.
...refuse to turn their headlights on rainy days. What do you think that's about? It's pretty obvious to anyone old enough to drive that it's much harder to see other cars and for them to see you in those conditions if your headlights are off. Splashing water sometimes makes it impossible to see a car in the next lane even. So do they think the risk is worth saving a few minutes' work for their car battery or headlights, or are they unaware that it is the law in almost every state in the union that one is required to turn their headlights on if the windshield wipers are operating? In California, for instance, this has been the law since July of 2005.
Bean has been a grandpa since he was born. Like, he
hey, get off my lawn!
Bean came out of the womb talking like an old grandpa.
Benjamin Button.
How come you kids don't turn on your damn lights?
Am I making a valid point or not?
I am so bored.
Doesn't it drive you crazy when you're driving around in the rain and there are people driving around without their headlights on who can't be seen? Doesn't it seem incredibly dangerous to you?
Not really.
Very dangerous.
Honestly,
and
I look at that and I go, well, that's kind of dumb.
Yeah. And then
that
guy's retarded.
I just move on with my life.
But if one person, Kevin, reads this on the K-Rock blog and says, you know what, I should turn on my lights when it's raining, and maybe it saves somebody's life, then wouldn't it have been worth it?
My name is Bean, and I'm saving lives with my blog.
There's nothing more relevant to Southern California readers than the driving habits of Seattle citizens.
Excuse me, it's the law in California, too, for the same reason, because occasionally it does rain. It rained there last week, and there were people.
Lives.
Oh, God, when is this going to end?
Psycho Mike, how do you make the decision when to blog and what?
I really, when Lightning emails me and says, seriously, you have to blog. It's been 4 weeks. You have to put something up. So then I do.
All right.
Well, here's my latest blog entry. The Kings of Leon's...
There's a dullness about you.
The Kings of Leon's latest offering, Only by the Night, is one of my favorites of the year. The first single is Sex on Fire. Now, is this a song about having sex while on fire?
You know what? I have to stop you. This has become boring.
Or a warning about the dangers of having sex with a woman that has a tainted badge.
No, that is not boring.
I've been with a woman that made my little mic catch on fire, and that was hell. But that was back in Nam, and let me tell you, that whole experience was hell, my friend.
Yeah, you were in Nam.
That's my blog.
All right.
By the way, I just got an email. Hey, Lisa, what was the name of the book you mentioned?
Oh, stop.
That actually does sound interesting.
Lead them back to nope.com.
And Kevin, you get the last word because I know you put a lot of time and effort and sweat and hard work into your blog. What are you writing about these days?
Well, Lightning gets mad at me because I won't blog.
Mm-hmm.
So he started just filling in stuff for me. He writes blogs for me now and then signs it from me. So this one came out at mid-December on a Friday. Well, it's been tough. I've tried to keep this a secret for the better part of my life, but I feel it's finally time to come clean with my friends and family. Hey, world, I'm gay. And then, and then he signs it, Kevin.
And that's, so, your last, Kevin. That's your last post. That's,
so brave, Kevin.
That's very nice.
Very proud of him.
And now you haven't been able to blog since then because you've been so busy exploring your new sexuality.
That's cool.
Thursday morning on the world famous K-Rock. Kevin, a lot of your people have been in the news lately. I know it's been very exciting for you.
I love stupidity.
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
Although I can't just do one because there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
For example, in Sydney, Australia, an Australian man broke into three adult shops. Three triple X shops.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And had sex with blow-up dolls named Jungle Jane.
She's hot.
He took her out back of the shop.
Yeah.
Blew her up.
Yeah,
so to speak, had sex with her and then dumped her in the trash can. Then went to another adult store.
Dumped her in the trash. That's so rude.
Found Jungle Jane in that store. Did the same thing. Three different stores.
Okay, now
Jungle Janes.
Yes,
you have many questions for this guy. Which is, would it hurt you to call her once afterwards just to pretend? And secondly, why steal her at the store, take her out of the alley, and then leave her? Why not just take her home? And that way you don't have to break into the next two sex shops because now you've got a Jungle Jane at home.
Well, that's the funny part because scientific officers said that there was plenty of DNA and fingerprint and every type of information on the guy that they could get off of these plastic dolls.
Of course.
Perfectly preserved.
Sure.
So they found him and he's, you know, in a lot of trouble for that. In Ohio, a dude that was going to rob a bank waited in line wearing a ski mask. He had the ski mask on and then waited for his turn.
He's so polite.
And police say that when he got up to the window, the teller asked him to take off his ski mask before he can be helped. So okay. he took it off.
And now then his face is on the video.
Then he showed her a toy gun. She gave him a small amount of money, whatever. He leaves. They know who he is, so they pick him up.
He must have never robbed a bank before because you don't wait in line
when
you go in.
You don't have to. That's the thing.
You just walk up to the teller.
That's the good thing about robbing a bank is you can skip the line.
And because he was so polite, and I'm sure she didn't think he was going to rob her.
Probably not. So you're going to have to take off that mask. All right.
Because that's a rule.
And in Houston, a Texas death row inmate with a history of mental problems, I guess you could call it that, he killed his whole family.
Oh.
And took out their hearts.
Oh, no.
So he's trouble a little.
Yeah. It could just be misunderstood, though. Let's wait and hear what he did now.
He was in Grayson County Jail, and apparently he took his right eye out just before his 2004 trial and ate it.
Oh, dear God. Are you kidding?
Now, if I recall from hearing about this story, he was trying to get off on the crime by being declared mentally insane. And that's why he did it. At least my understanding from the story is he thought, hey, I take my eye out and eat it, and then they'll think I'm crazy. And then I won't have the penalty.
I got news for you. That's crazy.
Yeah, I bought that yesterday when Bean told me that off the air. But then I thought, you know what? The dude took out their hearts, first of all.
Yeah.
Right? He's already crazy.
Why did he have to convince anyone?
And then what are you going to, you're going to pull your own eye out and eat it? And then, by the way, did it with his only good eye, pulled it out and ate it. Now he's completely blind.
Oh, my God.
Okay, but here's what I'm going to say. Here's why I'm not the only one who thinks that maybe he's acting. Is when he did it the first time, when he was standing trial because he wanted to be declared insane, it didn't work. The judge declared he was competent to stand trial, and he went and got sentenced to death row as a result of the killing his family, right?
Right.
So it didn't work that time. I'm not the only one. The judge didn't think he was crazy enough either to not be aware enough.
The judge is crazy.
So then he took his other eye out to prove it to them. And ate it.
And ate that too.
Okay, here's why he's crazy. Because he did the same thing again, thinking it would work when it didn't work the first time. Now that's crazy.
That is pretty stupid. That is pretty stupid.
I'm still stuck on crazy with pulled their hearts out.
Yes.
Right there to me.
He could be misunderstood, man. You don't know. You don't know what kind of tension was going on.
Yeah, I'm guessing not. And finally, I'm sure you saw this story of the girl texting. She, I believe, set an all-time record for texting.
You think your kids send too many text messages? Top this.
Yes,
California man says his teen sent 14,528 text messages in just 1 month.
A month?
Wait, how many?
14,000 and some. In a month.
How old is she? I want to date her.
Dad thought... this is a mistake. It was not a mistake. It was not a mistake. But yes, they do have an unlimited plan. So it's all good. Sort of. Okay. That was 484 messages in 1 day.
484 in a day.
Whoa. I do that just watching Gossip Girl.
Like, this child is addicted. They didn't take the phone away. They did put limits on it. She can't do this after dinner now. That's the only limit.
I saw some Prime News math in the midst of that. What, two? That's a message every 2 minutes, every hour, every waking hour?
Redarn ridiculous.
There's some more Prime News math. That is 14,000?
Yeah, if they didn't have an unlimited plan, this would have cost Dad about $2,900.
I mean, I know the technology, and I got a fight with my older son, mm-hmm. get off the text, and he's been pretty good about it. But you look over at him, and it's just...
all the time.
You as well, by the way.
I knew you were going to bust me. I knew it.
Yeah, now they're getting in a fight.
Did she say re-darn-diculous?
She did.
She lost me there as well.
I was taking a plane ride somewhere not long ago, and a guy was dropping off his two young daughters. They were 12, 13 years old or something like that. He was dropping them off at the airport. It was obviously a divorce situation where they were leaving, visiting him, and they were going someplace else to visit his mother. And the entire time they were in the waiting room, and the entire time right up until they got on the plane, these kids never once looked up to their dad. Both of them were texting like crazy on their little Blackberries. And then while the flight attendants are welcoming them onto the plane and talking about where they're going to sit and how it's all going to work, they never looked up at any of them, just texted nonstop, full time.
I'm so turned on by this story. I love to text.
I think we should ask Dr. Drew, but I think it may be an actual addiction. I think there may be trouble. And the next thing you know, man, those kids are going to start cutting their eyes out and eating them. You look out, man.
I'm guessing that's not going to happen.
Now you know, Kevin and Beans. Citizen of the Day.
Ralph Garman is here with a showbiz beat for a Thursday morning. What you talking about, Ralph?
Let me just say before I give you the showbiz news, and I didn't have a chance to step in earlier in the hour when you guys were talking about the K-Rock blogs.
And how good they are.
God bless Kevin for not buckling and kowtowing to this new phenomenon where everybody has to blog and write about their pointless, meaningless minutia. God bless him for resisting the man and telling him he's got to blog. And boo! Cheers for Kevin! Jeers for Bean and Lisa for their inanity.
Because we're willing to take the time to make the world a better place. Is that what you're suggesting, Ralph?
It's a book about why hockey players become pros and some don't. Turn on your lights. It's raining.
Bean said if he saves just one life, it'll be worth it for him.
It'll all be worth it.
If
exactly.
he took one life, mainly his own, the world would be a better place.
I've gotten 5 emails from people who are going to buy the book now.
Fantastic.
5? Wow. Out of how many listeners do we have? You're right. They're just, oh.
These are
the business
people
line is just lighting up.
That bothered to write me.
I'd like
and
to balance
computers this second.
I'd like to balance those with the amount of people who tuned out when we were reading our blogs.
Yeah.
Well,
and then see what it is.
Point.
I don't know if you have a chance to really listen to your show that often.
No.
Because you're usually doing it.
Yeah.
But you don't have enough stuff, people, to keep that interesting. The radio show. Let alone, oh, I got spillover. I got extra interesting stuff that I haven't brought up in the radio that I need to blog about. No, you don't. You don't have enough to fill the time we spend on the radio. So everyone just relax. God bless
you. The blogs are there for those who choose to enjoy them. That's all we're suggesting. We just want to make sure people knew that they were available, Ralph. That's all.
Turn on your lights. Do not have enough battery power.
That's good advice, by the way, turning your lights. State of California apparently agreed when they made it the goddamn law to put your lights on when the windshield wipers are on. It's not that hard, people.
Sweet Lord in heaven.
Yeah.
You know what? Ricardo Montalban's the lucky one today. That's all I'm telling you. He's the lucky one. Mr. Rourke from TV's Fantasy Island. Of course, Khan Noonien Singh from Star Trek, the original series. In 1967, he played a character that he reprised in Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan.
Oh, I didn't know that was an original character.
Yeah, they based that movie on an original episode that was on the TV series many years
ago. Because he was so popular.
Yeah, of course, that was one of like the best villains they had on that show, so they brought him back for the movie.
That was one of the best movies, I think.
It really was. Great, great film.
What did William Shatner have to say about the passing of Mr. Montalban?
I'm sorry that Regatta is dead.
And Bill, he played who in the movie?
Khan!
Yes.
Have you been watching Shatner's Raw Nerve?
I have not.
It's the best.
Best talk show on television.
You should really blog
so
about
good.
It.
I'm not going to blog about it.
Then
it's a
I
great idea.
It, but
I'm
no
not
going to
blog about
me.
It.
Here's the thing. Those of us that have access to a radio
Here's
show.
Why Asians are good at math. There's a book.
We don't need to have other outlets. We're lucky enough to have this.
There's too much of us
right.
in the world. That's what I'm saying.
But guys,
you should pull back.
When but is in my case, I don't get to talk about the intricacy stuff. I have to talk about the BS stuff that you guys are into.
Right. And anyone else.
The point is that Bean brings up things no one cares about all day long, and then he's got to inflict more damage by writing about stuff that no one cares about.
When is William Shatner's Raw Nerve on?
It is on the Bio Channel, which is what Biography used to be called, the Biography Network. You can find it on your cable provider. I know it's on DirecTV, and I think it's Tuesday nights they put the new episodes on.
I don't really go there for original programming.
I know. I hear you. But it's worth to seek out William Shatner's Raw Nerve, it's called. Shatner's Raw Nerve. And he does a half an hour sit-down interview with all kinds of interesting people. No studio audience, just him talking to somebody. And he's great at it. He really is. You should check it out. They usually show 2 or 3 back-to-back, the new one, and then a couple older ones, so you can kind of catch up. But so far he's done, it was like a weird group of people. I saw the Kelsey Grammer one was great. He talked to Leonard Nimoy, of course, his old co-star from Star Trek, who played Spock. Judge Judy was on recently, and I said, I'm going to sit through this, but there's no way I'm going to be interested in this. And it was fascinating, a fascinating half hour.
Huh.
So, check it out. Cara DeGuardi. She is the new judge on American Idol.
Oh, okay.
And she's already on my last nerve, by the way.
Is she?
Really? I like her.
Of course you do. Of course you do.
Well, of course you don't. What do you mean?
What is it that drives you crazy about her?
She's just smug and just cranky and just...
Doesn't she fit right in then? I mean, isn't that...
I think that's plenty handled with that panel. Okay. I'd like her to bring in something else, you know? And she's not funny smug like Simon can be.
Oh,
you know,
I see.
He can be a dick, but at least I get a chuckle out of him while he's doing it. I just find her shrill. But anyway, she says that she now has to defend herself about the fact that she went off on the girl who was wearing the bikini in the first episode.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
she yelled about it?
Oh, she hated her. She wanted her out. She said, no, she can't go through. She can't sing. Blah, 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 blah.
All of that's true.
And, of course, the right thing to do was send her right to Hollywood.
Of course.
Because she had the best ass I've seen on television ever.
And that's what this is about.
That's so hot.
So she said now she's being labeled a woman hater. You know how it is when the aging women some to get catty, you know, when the hot young chick walks into the room.
God,
that's what she went through that scene.
Isn't she, I don't watch the show, but isn't she kind of hot, too?
She's attractive.
Usually it's the not hot chicks that complain.
She's attractive, but she's on the other side of the hill. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
She's on the downslope.
Sure.
Ralph, it's absurd to label her a woman hater because she thought that particular girl didn't have the talent to go through based just on her singing. I mean, that's crazy.
If the,
I mean, the girl wasn't that good.
If the girl was wearing clothes and didn't sing that well, she wouldn't nearly have gone off on her like she did. Know what I'm saying?
She would have gone through. There's no way they'd have let her through if she weren't in a bikini.
Absolutely. She's smart.
Regardless, her criticism of the girl in clothes would not have been nearly as harsh as it was because she was wearing a bikini. She punished her because she was wearing a bikini.
But the girl was being a
She's
total
been a lot
brat.
Sweeter to a lot worse singers.
But that girl was a brat.
No, she wasn't. She was fine.
She was like, I'm hot, you should put me through.
See, this is what I'm talking about.
Of course, that's how you couch it.
She is. I got your back on this one, Lisa. You're reading it absolutely correctly.
See, all the cranky women in the room are siding with each other.
She is hot, and they should have put
her through. And they put her through, and she can't sing for crap.
She wasn't that bad. She really wasn't.
She wasn't good enough to go through.
And Kara's been a lot more supportive and sweet for a lot worse singers on that show than she punished this girl over.
Who have had better attitudes.
Yes.
Who's smart now not watching that show.
Anyway, she said, for the record, she loves pretty girls. And she's a big champion of women.
Okay,
and
well, I'm glad that's cleared
with
up.
Other women on that show.
She said, though, the girl did have a better body than a face. Oh, see how she comes now? Shut up. But she did have a better body than her face.
Rare
indeed, Psycho Mike. Rare indeed. Double rare.
She's a great champion of women?
Oh, yeah. She's the women's champion.
Look, I don't care very, very much about this judge, but she has written dozens of hits collaborating with women.
Great.
Everybody from Gwen Stefani to Pink. I mean, Kelly Clarkson, Carrie Underwood. I mean, she does do a lot with women. It's not
she's
like
a fan of Pink?
No, you can't look at her body of work and say she hates women because clearly she's demonstrated that she doesn't.
She just hates hot women. That's who she hates. And speaking of women, Kevin Federline's got a new girlfriend, Victoria Prince, volleyball player.
Yeah. Do we know who she is?
I've seen pictures of her.
Is she hot?
She's pretty hot.
He got another hot chick.
Way tall.
Yeah, she's a volleyball player. I mean, I can tell she's an athlete. But she's very attractive.
Huh.
And so Cara DiGuardi hates her. Apparently so does Britney Spears. Apparently Kevin Federline wants her to move in with him.
Right.
But Britney says she is furious about it. And she's going to try to stop it because, you know, she has to be around her sons.
Oh,
and Victoria has a record for an arrest for assault.
Do we know the details of
that? The charges were eventually dropped in the case. But she was arrested for assault at one point in her life. To which I answer, really, Brittany? She was arrested once for assault and you have a problem with her being around your kids? Do you know what you've done? Have you looked at your life?
Yeah.
She's never attacked a van with an umbrella, I'll tell you that much. She never shaved her head off and started running around like a lunatic. Brittany. Today's celebrity birthday is John Carpenter. Movie director celebrates his birthday today, as does actor Chad Lowe. Regina King, actress, is 38. Eddie Cahill from CSI New York turns 31. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Our friend Dr. Drew, co-host of Loveline here on K-Rock, joins us next hour. Is Beer Mug working this morning? Maybe Beer Mug's the intervention that he's coming in for.
Oh, I hope. I hope that would push the suspicion off of us.
He's definitely coming for somebody. He's not just stopping by to say hi. I know that. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. It is Thursday morning. By the way, finally, Ralph reported this story yesterday in the Showbiz Beat, but finally some good news. Am I right that Paris Hilton finally got a what for?
Yeah, Paris Hilton crashed a Golden Globe party that was thrown by CAA.
Mm-hmm.
And according to the report, somebody saw her and was very upset and was asking that she be removed because she was not on the guest list. And I'm sure this doesn't happen to Paris Hilton very often.
No.
But this was, you know, a stars. This was Tom Cruise and people like that were Brad Pitt. Pitt, you know,
the
Sting.
A-list.
Yeah, all of these people were there. And she's not exactly an A-lister among those people.
Mm-mm. No.
So they were trying to throw her out, and she ran and hid in the bathroom. And then they called the police, and the police waited outside the bathroom until she came out about 15 minutes later, and then they escorted her out of the party.
I love that story so much.
That is the
I
best.
Do, too. Finally. Finally it happened.
Yeah. Now, you know that she is not on any guest list anywhere, probably, and still just shows up at the door, and people go, oh, you're Paris Hilton, come on in.
Sure.
I imagine.
Of course.
But we want to talk about party crashing. Because that is a specific talent that you can muster, you can perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Dave, the King of Mexico, is in the studio with us. You crashed a weenie roast before you started working here?
Yeah, a weenie roast. When I was in high school, me and a couple of friends decided that we really had to go. And so we went Mission Impossible style and wore all black clothes and got in the dirt. You know, went through the strawberry patches in Irvine, you know, and then climbed the gate that led into the lawn. It was a good hike.
Well, Dave, as impressive as that is how you got to the country in the first place, so it's really that much of a surprise. You're out there in the middle of June wearing your all-black head-to-toe clothing and hope to not be noticed during the day.
We're getting dirty. You know, we had the mask and everything. It was fun times.
We've done
did you have your fingerless gloves?
No, not at the time. Huh. You know, they were.
We've done a bunch of interviews with K-Rock artists at the Weenie Rose throughout the years, and I don't remember who, but Kevin and I have talked to at least two or three artists in bands who say to us, hey, it's great to be playing the Weenie Rose this year because we used to have to sneak in through the fence.
Yeah. And for the most part, I guess they didn't have any connections. They weren't a band yet, but yeah, people would sneak in there.
Yep.
I don't know if you've ever snuck into anything, but it's surprisingly easy. It is not.
It is.
It isn't nearly as hard as you would think. I got into the Oscars one time with Jimmy Kimmel.
Wow.
How did you do that?
You would think that would be the toughest event to crash.
We plotted and plotted and waited and plotted, and then we found the door where the kitchen help was going in. So we went in through the kitchen, and then we hid, and then it was ridiculous. We were in there for, I don't know, maybe 2 hours, and then somebody asked us for our tickets and kicked us out. And then we said, well, screw it, let's just try, and we just walked right through the front door. No one asked
no
us. Just
kidding.
No one asked us for a ticket.
All right, was this pre-9/11?
Probably.
Because I do think that security has been raised a lot at events like that since then.
Yes, it was, actually.
We're going to take your calls, by the way, of anything you've ever been able to crash, any event or party or whatever that you should not have been able to get into, but you did. We want to hear your stories at 1-800-520-1067. You crashed the Grammys, too?
Yes, and got thrown out.
And did you just walk in? How'd you do that?
I did the old, you have to catch a security guard when they're looking a different way and then tap them on the shoulder and go, I'm just running out to grab a smoke or take a call or something. My ticket's inside. Remember my face. And then you go take your call or whatever, and then they see you, oh, yeah, come on through. It's surprisingly easy. But,
it really is.
But then I got thrown out, so that didn't work quite as well.
What about that guy? Remember we had a guy on, I think we did not care for him, but we had a guy that we interviewed who had crashed every Super Bowl, if I remember correctly, or the last 15 or something like that. He'd figured out a way to get in, and he'd done it in a number of different ways, some of which he wouldn't tell us about, but some of which involved, you know, dressing up like the guys working the hot dog cart vending.
Yep.
You know, that sort of thing. I mean, he had a plan for every event. It was amazing.
You know, the thing is that people really don't pay that close of attention. They're just, they get minimum wage or whatever it is they're making, and they try, but they don't really care that much.
Yeah,
so,
I suppose.
It's not like they're working security at the airport, really. Like, since 9/11, I'm sure it's gotten much harder. But Charlie in Anaheim is on the line. Good morning, Charlie.
Hey there, how you doing?
You broke into what?
E-Games Christmas party.
Oh, good.
Now, was this a private party for them and their employees?
Yeah, it was a private party for them and their employees, and we thought that it was like a swing dancing club, but apparently it wasn't going on that night at that location.
Oh, I see. So you just came across their Christmas party by accident.
Yes, and we ended up taking shots with like the CEO and the the board for the corporation. And then that got us addicted to party crashing.
And, oh, interesting.
And it was much easier than you thought, right?
A whole lot easier. You just got to walk in like you own the place.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm sure it gets done. Thank you very much for the call, Charlie. I'm sure it gets done all the time since the movie Wedding Crashers. But let's face it, there's no security at a wedding. I mean, anyone can walk into any wedding because there's so many people there that most people don't know that you just blend right in, eat what you want, and leave, right?
That's true, but I don't know who would want to.
break into a wedding. You know what I mean?
Well, like, if they have good eats.
You go to weddings really only if you have to.
It's the reception.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. let's go to Adam in Alhambra. Good morning, Adam.
Morning.
You snuck into Acoustic Christmas?
I sure did.
Nicely done.
Your, Green Day closed.
Nicely done.
The trick is you just have to walk in like you know what you're doing. Just keep walking. Hold your head up. Keep walking. I've walked into Dodger games. I've walked into Angel games. I've walked into Laker games.
All right, but let me stop you right there. Why don't you need a ticket, though? When every time I go to a baseball game, there is a guy there someplace between you and the seat that requests a ticket. What do you do then?
Because if you act like you own the place, if you just keep walking, I mean, they'll call you, you know, hey, mister, but just keep walking.
They do have to make the decision. You do force them into a decision. Do I chase this a-hole down, or do I stay at my post?
But
exactly. If you keep moving, they will come after you.
But did you go in backstage or through the front?
Through the front door.
At Acoustic, yeah.
Yeah.
But they have.
And we actually got really good seats. I actually got I was down at the bottom level there.
Nicely done.
Yeah.
All right. So it sounds like you're advising every K-Rock listener who doesn't get tickets to Acoustic Christmas to just come on down.
Yeah, that's fine.
Come on down, bro. Just keep walking. Hold your head up, look straight, and act like you own the place.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that you won't get caught occasionally, but then you just pick another entrance and try it again.
Yeah. That's what she said. Hey! let's try Brian in Whittier. He also has an interesting concert experience online for. Hi, Brian. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. Talking about crashing parties. What'd you do?
Yeah, it was great. Actually, we were at the Gibson Theater for the Deftones, and we were backstage, and we actually got to go on the stage. We snuck in with a bunch of girls that were walking back there. My cousin.
So you went to the VIP area backstage, and then you got up on stage?
Actually, on the stage.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah,
and
great.
Then you wrote some songs with the guys, and now you're on the road with them.
Yeah, tune up the guitars, you know, chilled out.
Wow.
Thank you, Brian.
That's another good strategy is to follow the entourage. You know, yeah, just be like, yeah, I'm with them.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
That's what we did at
Lollapalooza. That's how we got on stage, too. Yeah.
We saw Trent Reznor walking up to see Rage Against the Machine, and we just followed in like we were with him, and nobody asked us a question.
Funny.
Let's go to Eric in Pasadena. Good morning, Eric.
Hey, guys. Lisa.
Yeah, Eric.
Hi, Eric.
Eric.
Me and my wife snuck into Disneyland.
That would be difficult, I think.
Now, here's my question, though. Was it hard to get into Disneyland? How did you talk your wife into going in like that?
it was easy. We both were actually in it. We had a friend.
That's
who
what
was
she said.
In Disneyland at the time. Yeah.
Okay.
Hello.
Yes, we're here.
And we had a friend. We had a friend who was in Disneyland at the time. He came out to say hi. He had a hand stamp on his hand. It said Goofy. We kind of licked our hands and put his hand on ours. The Goofy was backwards, and as we were walking in, we were just going to say, well, we have a hand stamp. As we were walking in, there's a family who was giving away fast passes to Indiana Jones. Well, it turns out when you go into Disneyland for a second time, you need your hand stamp and a ticket.
Oh.
And we said, well, we have these fast passes, and we made a big stink. They called management. We thought we were in trouble. We thought we were going to get arrested. And
they take you underground, and we never see you again.
They beat you.
Yeah, no, I hear that 40,000 people a year disappear underneath Disneyland every year. It's weird that media don't cover that.
No, that's not true, actually. Everything Disney does is good.
Absolutely.
I'm not saying
that's
they don't make the right decision in making those people disappear. I'm just saying they disappear.
They're all good. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to Marco in Downey. Good morning, Marco.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. You snuck into what?
We snuck into the Warped Tour last year. We were going down a little path where we saw a couple people going, and there were porta potties. And there's a little gap, and we're like, oh, well, let's see where it goes. Maybe it'll take it to the front.
That's what she said.
I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
We walked to the gate, and we were, you know, there were stages and stuff. We're like, dude, we're inside. So there were like 8 or 9.
That's what she said. Go ahead.
So God we sense. Were inside, and then we sent one of our buddies out to sell the tickets. And so he sold 8 tickets, got our money back, and he ended up telling people that bought them that he had friends coming up from San Diego, and they got into a really bad car crash. And
I can't follow
in this story.
I'm trying. Yeah. I mean, the Warped Tour is very easy to sneak into because all you got to do is look dirty. Look dirty and walk right in because
that's
guys,
the key.
Yeah, just walk right in.
All right, we need to take a break and erase the memory of that phone call from our minds. But we're looking for your stories if you've crashed into anything cool. You've figured out a way to get in when you weren't supposed to be there. VIP
That's
areas,
what she said.
Or celebrity events or places that you need a ticket. We want to hear your stories, and we'll take more calls next. 1-800-520-1067 on the World Famous Kids.
you didn't watch American Idol last night. You got 2 hours of life, and you didn't miss a thing, because I'm going to give you the highlights of the worst singers of the night in about 3 minutes, coming up in just a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. All the stuff that you didn't have to watch yourself last night. First, though, we're talking about stuff that you crashed, parties that you showed up at, celebrity events that you went to, things that you didn't have a ticket for, yet you somehow figured out a way to get in. That's the topic on the table this morning.
Let's go to Bobby in Fullerton. Good morning, Bobby.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, thanks.
Good.
So, Coachella, the year that Rage Against was headlining, actually, I did this all three nights, but I pretended to be a vendor. I went online, I got the Coachella logo, and I spray-painted onto a shirt that said Coach Water.
Right.
So, I, you know, one night, the first night I did, I went up, and I was walking up to one of the security guys I saw. He was going towards the front gate, and I had a walkie-talkie that wasn't really linked to anyone else, but I kind of just, like, I was pretending like I was talking to somebody.
Right.
And I go up to the security. I'm like, hey, have you guys seen Kevin? And he's like, oh, no. I was like, you going up to the front right now? He's like, yeah. I was like, oh, can you give me a ride? He's like, yeah, sure.
Hop in. Nice.
So, oh, that's
gives
so
me a
great.
Ride up to the front gate, drops me off, and I just keep paging Kevin. Kevin, come in, Kevin. I need to get some more water, blah, blah, blah.
And Kevin's just a random made-up name?
Yeah, that's the first name I thought of, and that's, you know, funny. You guys. So I was like, yeah, let's make up this thing, you know.
See, The problem with breaking into Coachella, though, is that if they stop you, which happens occasionally, you're an Indio. I mean,
that's true.
You're a long a ways from point. Home. I mean, that's rough if you don't get in, but apparently he didn't have much trouble. Thank
Dude,
you for the call.
Three nights in a row to make that work. That's pretty sweet.
All right. Let's see here. Let's go to Sergio in Chino Valley. Good morning, Sergio.
What's up, man?
What's happening?
Nothing much. Yeah, me and my buddy, we got into car racing. I did the same thing as the other guy did. Just I used to work for Coca-Cola, and I still had some of their shirts.
Mm-hmm.
So we jump on the trolley from the front gate to go through the back gate, and show Albert's gonna walk in like we just own the place. And as soon as the security guard saw us, hey, what are you doing? I was like, oh, I'm a vendor. I'm here to check the Coca-Cola. I guess there was some trouble with the tab or whatever, and they're just like, all right, who's this guy right here? I was like, oh, this is my buddy. I'm training him. He's 2 weeks into the job, and he didn't even have a shirt on or nothing. Like, all right, go for it. Like, all right, go ahead, guys. He gave us wristbands and everything. Like, all right, see you later, guys.
Look, here's the way I think about it, is that at least a certain amount of those dudes have to be like me being a security guard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, how tough is that going to be?
Right.
I was a security guard in college. Stupid.
You didn't care.
Did you
didn't care
what anyone? People did.
No, God, no. I hid. I was playing basketball in the gym and doing just everything else. I mean, there's a certain number of screw-offs in the security department. There have to be.
So absolutely. You just keep trying until you hit that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, if you're trying to get into the hotel where the president's staying, maybe there's a little higher level of security, and there should be. But something like this. All right, let's talk to Charles real quick on line two, because he's got a scam that has been working for 5 years. Listen up, peeps. What's up, Charles?
Hey, what's going on?
Hi, Charles.
Hey, I've been getting into Irvine Meadows since I was a kid.
You jump over the back fence? Is that your way?
You jump over any fence, going through the side, any way. You got to go through. Sometimes you got to go through the river, go up along the back. I went to everything from Jimmy Buffett to Jerry Garcia, Steve Miller Band, anything and everything you wouldn't think I'd be at. Just anything you can get into.
That's what she said!
And so it didn't matter, you know, be hanging out with the dirty hippies and then with the punk rockers one day. Went to every Lollapalooza that they had there.
Very nice.
Very cool.
You know.
So it sounds like a lot of people have figured out you can hop a fence to get into Irvine. Why do you suppose it's still so easy? Like, why haven't they put barbed wire on the top of the fence all the way around that venue yet if this has been going on for years, I wonder?
You know what? I don't know, but they actually have people that drive around on ATCs
they
out
do.
There.
They do, yeah. And they'll shoot you. They'll shoot you. They have submachine guns. No, I'm just kidding.
No, but they will beat you up. Some of them will. Some of them old jock types are mad because they're only getting paid $5 an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll beat you up. But if you just jump, you usually just find a group of people and tap 10 or 20, hit the fence at a time. And
what are they going to do?
Yep.
It's like making a run for the border.
It is.
Yes. Yeah.
That's how Charles, I got into America.
Just hearing you on the phone, I want to tell you, no one is surprised that you went to Jerry Garcia. No one is surprised by that. Thanks for the call, dude.
The man with all the answers, Dr. Drew, coming up just after the top of the hour here on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ.
It's one of the highest-rated shows in the history of television. It is back for a new season. We're talking about American Idol, and I know that there are many, many K-Rock listeners who hate it as much as my man Kevin does. And that's why you don't have to watch it. But I think you will very much enjoy some of the bad auditions that are going on this week. A couple nights ago, they were in Phoenix. Last night, they were in Kansas City, Kevin, which is where David Cook, last year's American Idol winner, lives and was auditioning from.
Would you mind if we start with a question?
Sure.
Did Ryan Seacrest really try to high-five a blind guy on American Idol? Really?
He went up to a girl in a wheelchair last night with a gun and forced her to walk. I mean, it was embarrassing to see that happen. But,
get up!
This is great because people with zero talent show up and all the confidence in the world. In fact, the show started with someone just like that. Let's meet Chelsea, shall we?
I was always afraid to come out for American Idol. Like, I didn't think I was good enough. My family would always tell me, you know, Chelsea, you're really, really good. You should do it. And it just seemed like a dream for me. You see me and you see this little girl and you don't think that this powerful voice is going to come out of me.
Okay, now when you hear all that, you know she's got to have talent, right?
Yeah. Well, yes. Otherwise, where does that come from?
Right.
And then I'll start singing a song, and there's just like so much emotion and power, and people are like, whoa.
Okay, prepare to be blown away. Here
we go. You always smile, but in your eyes, your sorrow shows. Yes, it shows.
Wow.
I can't live if living is without you.
Yeah.
Got another song?
That's Paula, by the way. Got another song, Breaking the Comedy. How about that?
How do they not notice the judges laughing? I mean, how do they...
I don't know. I think sometimes they do. Sometimes they're just caught up in the moment. They're, you know, caught up in their own performance.
Wow.
And I know. But that was the start of the show last night. I thought, this is great. I love it so much. Here's Billy, big, big boy, doing a Christina Aguilera song, and you'll hear the entirety of the judge's critique at the end of Billy singing.
Who is that girl I see staring straight back at me? When will my reflection show who I am inside?
Let's just say goodbye.
Okay. Let's just say goodbye. I mean, there's not necessary to critique. There's no need to vote. Let's just say goodbye.
Talk about a momentum killer right there.
All right. Here's a brother named DeAndre who gets up. Now, the judges don't even wait until he's done to start making their comments. That's how poorly it went for DeAndre singing Amazing Grace.
I was lost, but now I'm found.
Now what did you say? Deaf.
Oh, deaf.
Deaf.
I thought he said dead.
All you need to know about that. And then finally in this round, here's Jasmine singing Over the Rainbow. And this was one of the funniest things I've ever seen on American Idol. And I don't know if they just edited it this way or if this is actually the way it happened. Nobody said anything when she was done. They were just speechless, and she just turned and walked out of the room.
Oh, no.
There was no comment whatsoever. Here's a little of that.
Somewhere. Skies are blue, and the dreams that you dare to dream really do come true.
And they just sat there and just looked at each other, and then she just got her hat and just walked out the door.
Nobody
said
it.
Nothing was. I think it was evident. What was
I know,
going
but
on there?
Wouldn't you think she would at least like? I don't know. Ask.
Anyone?
So should I go? You know, something.
It was very funny. All right. Here's another one of those guys who, and there are a lot of them that show up for the auditions, that they have to be in showbiz. It's all they've ever dreamt of. It's all they've ever, you know, wanted to do. It's their whole life, and this is their one shot. And that's what's going on with our friend Brian here, who's a former opera singer, and now he's going to try his fortune in the rock world.
So this audition is so important to me today. It's me returning to music and just knowing that I have a place in this industry. It's just what I dream of doing for the rest of my life.
And by the way, that's a real theme for a lot of these contestants. And many of them will tell you, so many people say that I can't sing. You know, my mom says I suck. But for whatever reason, they still are convinced that the world is wrong and that they're right and they've got the talent. And I think that's what's going on with Brian here.
Well, you better think, think about what you're trying to do to me. Oh, you better think, let your mind go, let yourself be free. Let's go back, way back when.
You understand that it's all he's ever wanted to do is be a singer. No one's going to tell him that he doesn't have the talent.
At least that guy knows he's on tune. You know, he's hitting the notes.
Right.
Doesn't mean he's good, but he's hitting
the notes. Doesn't mean he's good, right. Now, here's the beautiful Mia, by the way. She's great. She's the one you've been seeing in the promos a lot this week who's screaming at the judges about what a mistake they made. She's in the variety of the judges are stupid. These are judges that she wants to put her through, but when they don't, then they're stupid, sure. Clearly, and the show is bogus, and I'm going to be a star, and I don't need American Idol. That's this girl.
Sure.
She is basically told to stop and will not. She keeps singing. All right, Mia is doing Lovin' You, the old R&B song from Minnie Riperton.
Lovin' you, I can see your soul come shining through.
Ouch.
And every time we, I'm more in love with you.
Okay, Mia. This isn't going well, sweetheart.
Yeah. Huh?
It's not working, darling.
No.
Ouch.
Oh.
She wanted to show off that note, I think, at the end of Loving You then. But Mia was not put through it. Apparently, it's our loss because she deserves to be the American Idol, she said. So that's it for highlights for last night's show. So we get a few days off, and then I think it comes back, I guess, next Tuesday and Wednesday for more auditions. More bad.
How many bad shows are there? Because that's the interesting part.
I think they cut it down this year. I don't know for sure, but I think they're maybe doing five. It seems like we got two down and maybe three more to go. Maybe six.
They should have a spinoff each year where the bad singers go into a whole nother competition, and then while they're trying to find the American Idol, they try to find also the worst.
I like
sure.
it.
Final
Why
ten.
Not?
People vote.
Sure.
I'd be all over.
Is it possible that Dr. Drew is one of triplets and we just don't know it? Because otherwise, how can he be everywhere all the time at the same time always?
That's a good question. I don't know.
All yeah, I know is he used to work at the Pasadena Genetics Cloning Lab.
Oh, yeah, is that right? Wow, I didn't realize that. Mm-hmm. Mm.
I, more often than not, when I turn on the TV, and you guys know I watch a lot of TV.
Yes, you do.
He's on. He's on more often than he's not on when I turn on, whatever channel it happens to be, day or night. So I'm just saying there's something going on with that dude. But somehow he has carved out the time to join us on the Kevin and Bean Show, and we'll talk to Dr. Drew Pinsky right after the news at 8. First, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat for Thursday morning. What's going on?
Con!
Is dead.
It's quite a tribute.
No! Khan Noonien Singh.
Hi.
From Star Trek, probably better known as Ricardo Montalban, has passed away at the age of 88 years old.
That's pretty good, 88.
Pretty it good is. Life.
Yeah.
Bad health towards the end, though. I think he was confined to a wheelchair towards the end of his life.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. Mr. Rourke on Fantasy Island, of course. Khan on the TV series and in the 1982 film Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, of course. And let's not forget those commercials he used to do for cars. The Chrysler Cordoba.
Oh, sure.
With rich Corinthian leather.
Yeah. Which now, didn't exist, right? Is that true?
I think...
I heard it wasn't even a...
There's no leather in the Corinthian part of Spain?
I just heard that it was just made up. It up.
Sounds good.
Did sound good.
Yeah.
I bet he sold a lot of cars with that.
Yeah, 88 years old.
DJ Omar Khan.
No, he's still alive.
Nope.
That guy's still alive.
Although we're not sure, at his rate, how long that'll be true. Should have seen it yesterday, boys. Lines around the block at my local comic book store.
Yeah. Oh, why?
Waiting for the store to open. Because you know Wednesday's new comic day.
Well, right? You don't have to tell me that, yeah. Right.
Obviously.
And yesterday was released the Spider-Man comic book where he meets President-elect Obama.
Oh no.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Spider-Man saves the inauguration.
Really?
Wow. And Obama thanks him by giving him a little fist bump at the end.
Come on.
I'm not kidding you.
That sounds super lame.
It's awesome. Peter Parker, you know, Spidey's secret identity,
sure,
gets sent to the inauguration to take photos, and he realizes that the Chameleon, one of Spider-Man's arch-enemies, is posing as Obama.
Wow.
To
wow,
upset the inauguration.
Fortunate that he was there then.
So good thing Spidey was there to save the day.
Wow.
Anyway, this comic book is selling out all over the country. Already on eBay, $25, $30, $35 a pop if you want to buy one of these. People are going nuts for this.
Now, I heard that Barack Obama is actually a comic book geek.
That's why they
paid tribute to him?
That's how it started. He mentioned that he was a big comic book fan, and so the people over at Marvel Comics decided to put him in Spider-Man.
They usually don't do stuff that's that topical, do they? Or tied into...
Every once in a while. They did a big series after 9/11 because the comic book companies are both located in New York City. Yeah. They did big tribute issues with Captain America, you know, giving tribute to the firemen and the cops and that kind of stuff. So once in a while, they'll tie in current events. But this comic book, apparently, it's the biggest collectible in years. Since Superman's death, they said they haven't sold this many comic books.
How about that?
So, Obama's popular with the nerds. God bless him.
It's so weird to have such a young president who does, like, normal stuff that people we know do.
Yeah, true. That is true.
Like surfing and stuff like that. You just don't ever picture a president doing some of the stuff that he does.
Obama said his favorite comic book character growing up was Spider-Man. Or Spider-Man.
Yeah, either one.
And then second was Batman. So I called the government to see if I could take my vote back, but they said no, it was too late.
Oh, you don't want to vote for anybody that picks Batman second?
BS, man. Remember I told you about the Golden Globes telecast? I was lucky enough to see the East Coast feed of that show.
Yeah.
And while Mickey Rourke was giving his acceptance speech, he mentioned that the director, Darren Aronofsky, was a really tough SOB. He said, he hates when I say this, but he's really tough.
Right.
And then they cut to the Aronofsky sitting in the audience, and he flips Mickey Rourke the bird.
I saw that.
In a playful gesture.
Yeah, it was funny.
Yes. Not funny to the FCC, apparently.
Oh, no.
They've announced today that they are investigating the Golden Globe telecast, not only because of the flipping the bird, which they call an obscene gesture.
Oh, no.
But some occasional off-color language in some of the speeches, which was bleeped by NBC in the West Coast taped feed.
Aired
live on NBC in the East Coast, including the flipping of the bird. The West Coast version, they blacked it out. They blacked out the screen for 2 seconds while that scene was on.
Really?
So people would just be horrified beyond belief if they actually saw someone flipping the bird on TV. Is that the idea?
Lisa, you have to give the FCC children? This one, because according to spokeswoman Edie Herman, they have received 18 complaints.
Guys, who 1,800,000 people or
18
something?
18 complaints. So now they're investigating. After 18 complaints.
Is there no number that's small enough that they'll go, most people didn't care, thanks for your time?
Apparently not.
I just can't believe that in 2009 anybody can be truly offended by somebody's middle finger. I mean, hasn't it been so common for so long that it's kind of lost its effectiveness beyond a comedic tool at this point?
By the way, look at the movies that they are talking about. All those people, if they're interested in the Golden Globes, probably saw some of those movies. There's lots of stuff going on in those movies that you're not going to see on network TV.
Yeah, come on.
This isn't the Nickelodeon Awards.
Yeah. Wow.
18 complaints. Investigating now.
They need to get rid of all those people.
If I ran the FCC, here's what would happen. Those 18 people,
yeah,
FCC would go to their house and then just give them the big flat palm slap up against the forehead. Go, what are you doing? And then I would just walk away. I wouldn't even explain why. They would open the door, then big slap in the forehead, just open palm, just slam to the forehead, and then just walk away. That's how I would handle those complaints.
I just don't see how you can be offended by seeing that gesture, whether it's on TV or in person. I just don't know at this point how that can upset anyone that much. And I'll write a letter for anything.
Yeah, you will. That's
you
true.
You will. And even Bean isn't bothered by that. So I just laughed when I saw that. We've received 18 complaints.
And for all we know, it's all one complaint that a bunch of different people sent in.
Maybe it's 18 different people.
Even if.
I agree.
Madness.
You don't want to be offensive and distasteful these days, guys. I can tell you that that's bad news.
Really? I find the finger neither.
Me
I find
too.
The finger, first of all, useful for picking up things.
Sure.
And secondly, hilarious.
Aronofsky wasn't throwing feces at Mickey Rourke. Let's all keep this in perspective.
That
it was just
okay.
His finger.
If he had shot Mickey Rourke, nobody would have complained, I guarantee you.
You're right.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Regina King celebrates her 38th. Ernie Reyes Jr. from Surf Ninjas. A concerned K-Rock listener also sent me an email saying you forgot to mention he also played Leonardo in the live-action Ninja Turtles movie.
Okay.
Wow. I don't even know what Surf Ninjas is, Ralph.
It's a kid's movie basically about ninjas who surf.
Okay. Who surf, all right.
He's 37. Eddie Cahill from CSI New York is 31. John Carpenter, the director, celebrates his birthday today, as does actor Chad Lowe, who was married to Hilary Swank, or
yes,
still
that's
is.
Correct. No, they're not together.
They're split. They split up.
Yeah.
They split up?
They split up. I don't know. They're having problems.
That's a shame. That's so sad. A couple split. Like that.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
And we welcome a man to our studio who's not going to rest until every celebrity is on his TV show at one point or another.
He'll just keep making more TV shows if he has to get them all on.
I came here actually this morning, Bean, to speak to you about something.
Oh, I'm so glad it was Bean.
Dr. Drew Pitsky, ladies and gentlemen, joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We were joking earlier that when Dr. Drew shows up, we're always afraid that somehow it's going to be an intervention and that one of us is going to be leaving in a truck.
We're going to be talking about Asperger's and we'll talk about opiate addiction. We'll talk about all kinds of good things. Excellent. But you know what? You guys were doing that crashing stories earlier.
Crashing parties, yeah.
Crashing parties. Mm-hmm. I actually had somebody crash my wedding reception. Not really, it was like a what do they have, those showers before your wedding, you know,
you had somebody,
engagement. Yeah. Guy came in, crashed the party, started ripping off he went into the area where people left their coats and purses and started ransacking everything. A cousin of my wife, who's a cop, happened to walk in.
Wow.
And took the guy down.
Dude.
It was unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah.
So he didn't just break in. He broke in and then was going to take everything.
Yeah. He was milling around. People thought he was one of the caterers. No one could figure who is that. People were kind of asking, who is that guy? He was wearing like a caterer's like suit.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Crazy. Yeah, you get around you get in one of those parties and you don't know everybody and she doesn't know everybody.
That's right. And there's a bunch of caterers running around. Yeah. And then all of a sudden this guy is in the bedroom rifling through everyone's stuff.
Dr. Drew, how long? One of your shirts. wait a minute. How long have you been married now, Dr. Drew?
1991, so add that up. 17 years?
17 years. Okay. And you've seen your wife 6 months out of that time, I would imagine? About 6 months?
Today's what? Thursday?
Thursday.
Yeah, about 6 months.
Six months total?
Yeah.
Your schedule is unbelievable, and I can't believe you're here today to tell us that you have a new TV show that's debuting tonight.
We do. It's called Sober House. It's the same time slot as a Celebrity Rehab. It's VH1, 10 o'clock tonight, Thursday night.
Can't wait.
It's pretty intense.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I'm going to tell you, this one people are going to react to because, you know, they are in their sober living, which is away from my constant supervision. They're not in a medically managed environment. And some stuff happens.
So they don't have people taking away their cell phones.
Right. We're actually encouraging them to sort of get out a little bit, but within structure and with rules and stuff. And then I treat them as an outpatient, in an outpatient program. So we're still treating them. And in the middle of the thing, Andy Dick shows up. Did you hear about this part?
I did.
Yeah.
And that was kind of freaky.
Well, if you remember last summer when he had that meltdown?
Yeah.
You guys were talking about it a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And
he's had a lot of those, by the way.
But this was a bad one.
Yeah.
And he went to my hospital. And when he found out I wasn't there, he became enraged. Like, I came here to be treated finally by you. Where are you? He called me, and I said, you know, I'm doing this show for 3 weeks. And he goes, then I'm coming on the show. And he came on.
Wow.
Crazy, right?
Yeah. That's crazy. For folks who maybe didn't watch Celebrity Rehab and they're losers because of that, who's making the transition from Celebrity Rehab to the Sober House?
We bring a couple people back from Celebrity Rehab 1, and that is Mary Carey comes back. She's been kind of struggling with things. Shifty, who had a relapse at the end of CR2, if you remember, goes
He was
on
the roof, if I recall.
Smoking crack on the roof, yeah. That's what that is. And then we bring Steven Adler, who really has a tough time in sober living.
Yeah.
We got Amber Smith, your favorite, and Ralph's favorite, and Bean's favorite.
Well, she's pretty hot.
Yeah.
And she's a really nice girl,
she is,
too.
Yeah.
Nice woman, struggles also.
Yes.
Nikki McKibben comes along, does quite well.
So glad
Rodney King
came.
Comes along. Rodney, I have this great experience with him where he and I stepped through the experiences of that night when he was beaten. He'd never gone through that with anybody before.
Really?
He'd never told his story to anybody.
That's amazing.
The craziest thing. And
how can that be?
That's what I thought, but he got so caught. First of all, he's loaded all around all that.
Right.
And he was so caught up in the legal battles, he was told not to say anything to anybody by his attorneys.
Wow.
He never told the story. So it was quite a chilling thing to walk through with him. And here's the interesting thing is on the site where he was beaten, we found the spot. He was like, well, you know, normally I could see the woods over here and the lake, but what's this building doing here? It's a building that was grown up where he was beaten.
Right.
LA Children's Museum.
Really?
Isn't that crazy?
Dr.
This
Drew,
huge
why,
children's museum.
Why is it at the time of the riots where he was beaten so badly and had so much medical care and needed surgery and all that, why didn't they ever do psychiatry with him at that time?
I'm sure they did. I'm sure they tried. I'm sure of it.
But he was just too inside himself to talk about it at that point, maybe?
Well, also, you know how it is with addiction. I mean, listen, it's one thing to say, hey, I was beaten, I feel bad about it. It's another thing to be ready to really walk through moment by moment exactly what happened. And nobody, I mean, early on after a trauma like that, people wouldn't necessarily want them to revivify it like that. It makes them feel worse. Secondly, he was in his alcoholism and not interested in recovery at that point. And so you got to be ready for that, too. And he wasn't. So,
what about Gary Busey? Is he going in your...
Busey does not.
Aww.
Tawny does not.
He's crazy.
But he get, doesn't he get a lot better, though, by the end?
He did get a lot better.
I kept, because by the end, my Gary is the Gary at the end. That's the guy I love. And so when I
love the guy at the beginning.
And, and when I came out of Celebrity Rehab, I was saying, you know, I love me some Gary Busey. And people are like, what? Look at that guy. What are you talking about? So by the end, I thought, oh, that's right. He changes a lot.
Oh, he's the best.
Let me ask you, let me go back for 1 second to Rodney King, because he, to me, did the most rehab of his image throughout the course of Celebrity Rehab. I mean, I think the viewer genuinely grew to like this guy.
Because there's nothing not to like.
He's
about
super likable.
He's
yeah.
a super, super
cool
nice guy.
Yeah.
Right. But he had drug and alcohol problems prior to the beating, and then it just continued to spiral out of control after that, or no? Is that not the case?
Oh, no, that is the case. And
So it's lifelong for Rodney.
Oh, yeah. He's a horrible alcoholic. And he, that night, I mean, he blames his disease for what he did that night. I mean, he was loaded. And he told some interesting stories about how loaded he was during the trial and stuff, too. He kept on going. And he's had long periods of sobriety. When he goes into a structured environment, he does fantastic. When he drifts away, he just starts drifting.
Yeah.
And so I have concerns about him now. I'm trying to keep him with the fellowship, with the program.
Right.
And when he's with it, he's like the world's greatest guy, world's greatest sober guy. He starts drinking, not so
pretty. Is it about his... Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is it about his friends, the people that he ends up hanging out with, or
yeah,
no?
So as always, you know, you drift... You know, you go in with other addicts you're going to use.
Right.
And
right.
So it's not the friends take him there. He goes there, and that's when he uses.
You know what's sweet with him, too, was the daughters coming
in. Oh, my God. Wonderful.
What a great family.
Oh, my
God.
So much
I didn't think it came across on TV quite as vividly as the conversation I had with him, which was Dad, we want you in any condition you're in. We love you no matter what. In fact, you freak us out when you disappear. He went a great deal tell with me about how ashamed he was because of how his dad made him feel. His dad was died of alcoholism.
Wow.
And so he didn't want to be around his dad. Therefore, he doesn't want his daughters to see him the way he saw his dad.
Right. Wow. So he would hide from them, and they would say, we don't like that.
And it would make him more ashamed, more withdrawn, more likely to use, as opposed to getting the support of the family, which would bring him out.
Right. What I understand what you're doing with these people you've mentioned on Sober House. What do you do with the non-celebrities who aren't on TV? How do you manage their treatment as they try to get back into regular society after going through a strict program?
There's really nothing different about the entire process. The only thing different I've really, as I thought about this, about Celebrity Rehab and Sober House, there's two things. One thing different about Celebrity Rehab is when people misbehave in treatment that I do in day and day out, I kick people out. They just got to go. I give them three strikes, out. In Celebrity Rehab, the producer's like, no, come on, don't throw them out. I'm like, I'm going to throw these guys out. No, please. And you know what? I mean, the Gary and stuff, I would have thrown him out. And he did great. I'm glad I didn't throw him out. So in a way, it ends up okay in that crazy environment of having cameras.
Right.
In Sober House, the only difference is we keep them a lot longer in sober living.
How long?
6 to 12 months at least.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is like a month.
Wow.
And we're still encouraging them more. And they get something out of it, but they need more still.
Can you talk about Jeff Conaway for a sec? And
mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Let's hold that thought.
Oh, okay.
We need to take a break.
Yes.
Dr. Drew is here. Again, he's got Celebrity Rehab Presents Sober House tonight and every Thursday night at 10 p.m. on VH1, same slot that Celebrity Rehab used to be in, and we will be right back.
Our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky is here, of course, co-host of the Loveline Show on K-Rock, five nights a week at 10 p.m., and he's back on the TV on the VH1 with
Stryker.
Sober House tonight.
With Stryker.
Well, I said co-host. I'm not giving you all the credit.
All right,
but yeah, Stryker and his tail are doing it. So there's really three of you with Stryker, tail, and the Dr.
Ding, 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 ding.
But you perhaps know Dr. Drew best from his appearance on Dawson's Creek. He's here talking about Sober House right now, and I don't know if this dovetails into the question Lisa was asking before the break about Jeff Conaway, but there have to be some patients, celebrity or otherwise, Drew, that you just have to throw up your hands and say, can't do anything for you, I'm done.
Oh, for sure. And that happens all the time. Or at the very minimum, the only message I can give them is, you're not doing it. You need to get out of here. I need to give a clear message that this is not what you need to do. You're discharged.
Go somewhere else. How do you come to peace with some of these people that you've kind of, you know, come to know and care
for? If I have to discharge them?
Yeah, just...
Oh, that's a great question. You know what, Kevin? Because that's the same job as being a parent. Because I know so clearly what they need in that circumstance, I have to come in with a big axe and just drop it. It's painful, but I didn't create it. They did.
Right.
And it's like being a parent. As a parent, you got to show the axe. And if a kid does something that makes you
show an axe to your children,
you just have to. Well, I mean, just figuratively.
And
well, I show them a pair of scissors. You know,
sure,
that's what I use.
Sure,
but And you just have to drop it.
Just because you know that's the best thing for them.
Because think about parents that enable and don't drop the axe. The kid ends up sick and dead many times. So it's the same thing as the physician. You're in there. You know exactly what they need when they behave a certain way. Even it's just to give them that message that sometimes breaks through. So next time around, maybe they're ready and motivated.
So my question about Jeff is he left before the end of the show. Clearly intent. All he wanted to do was go home and
get
do drugs.
Drugs. Yeah,
that's all he wanted to
do. Yeah, that's all. You know, last time, apparently, when he left after season one, remember he left a little prematurely that time, too? Apparently, he had drugs in the car.
Wow.
Oh, and not one drug, like illicit drugs and pharmaceuticals. And by the way, people need to be aware, there is, I want to scream this from every hilltop. There is a pandemic right now of deaths from pharmaceutical drugs. The combination of opiates and benzodiazepines, whether it's Suboxone or Vicodin or OxyContin, plus medicines like Ambien, Clonopin, Xanax, that's a fatal combination.
That was Heath Ledger, right?
That's what Heath Ledger. Yeah. And I'm telling you, his death was a leading edge of a typhoon, of a tsunami of deaths. A friend of mine is a defense attorney. Went to. He's seen lots of deaths of even outside of the medical realm.
Wow,
people are dying. My patients are dying a lot now from the pharmaceutical. Realize this: there's a disconnect between the lethality of a dose of those medicines I've mentioned and their intoxicating effects. In other words, you could be taking them and feel no high and no intoxication.
Lethal effects. I thought that's why there have been so many laws about prescriptions being coordinated between pharmacies and between doctors so that you always know what each patient is getting at one time. Is that not the case?
That attempt is being made, but what's to say that your patient's not going to take two or three just that one night just because they aren't sleeping and they're feeling anxious, and that's enough. But you've now crossed the lethal threshold even though you haven't crossed the into intoxication. Mm-hmm. You're tolerant to the intoxicating effects. You don't get tolerant to the lethal effects.
And as somebody who has back pain and has had a lot of doctors, it's not difficult to keep from one doctor to another.
It's a piece of cake.
You really do just have to make sure that it all goes through one doctor.
And by the way, it's
really simple to do.
Right, and the doctor doesn't catch up to it until you've been doing it for a month or two. In the meantime, you could be dead.
Yeah.
You know, even if they're trying to keep up with it or it's an opportunity to keep up with it, there's a lag time between you getting the meds and potentially doing something and the doctor being aware of the combination you're under.
What do you do with a guy, and maybe Jeff Conaway is a good example of this, a guy who really does have legitimate physical pain and really does need medicine to help manage that pain, but is also an addict and can't really take anything?
Right. It's an exceedingly difficult problem. One thing I will tell you is that most pain management physicians never give the patients an opportunity to be off opiates. And I do that all day long. And so patients that I see, which is a certain subset of pain management, mind you, they come in, you ask them, what's your pain on a scale of 10? And they all have back pain, they all have headaches, they all have leg pain, whatever. And they'll all say, oh, it's 15, it's 20 on a scale of 10. You can't imagine how bad it is. And within 2 weeks, they stop talking about the pain, and they usually say it's a 4. Just
Why
stopping
is
the
that?
Pain. Because pain meds cause chronic withdrawal and hyperalgesia, it's called. So you are actually intensifying pain and causing pain. And also what's called the affective charge of pain. I'm sure your listeners love this stuff. We're going to do a medical lecture to Kerouac listeners.
Take some notes, people.
but the affective, the pain has a somatic component, like what's happening to your body, and an affective component. It's meaning. And the affective component is what spirals really out of control in chronic pain. And it's horrible.
Meaning panic, basically.
Just the meaning of the pain, the panic, the misery of pain. I think the great way to show is the misery of pain is just off the chart. And that is amplified by opiates. In some people, not in everybody, by the way. So that makes it even more confusing for the doctors. So it's tough.
Kevin has talked about on this show because of all the stuff he's gone through with his back. And by the way, one day we'll hear the real story of what happened out there at Burning Man that really, really caused Kevin all that back pain.
I've told you everything I know, dude.
He's talked about, Dr. Drew, and maybe you can talk about this, that there really is
anything
so much...
Anything to get him off the Asperger's topic. You see how it goes?
Yeah, I know.
Go ahead. All right.
There's so much mental work involved in managing pain in addition to what's going on physically is your attitude and everything else. I mean, you have to deal with all of that as well, too.
Yes. Pain is a feature of what we call affect regulation. It requires, and that's what we're doing in addiction treatment, is building the capacity for emotional regulation. Jeff Conaway, not so much.
Yeah.
Not so much of that.
What do you think is going to happen
to Jeff? I think more surgeries and more whatever, and his life is on a steady decline, and there's only one way to kind of turn it around, and I don't see it turning around.
He doesn't seem willing
at
all.
How does that not bum you out?
I guess it does bum me out. It does bum me out. I mean, I have great affection for these people. As I say, you know, I particularly, for some reason, these celebrities were in such an intense little experience together. I get great affection for them all. And Jeff, I still have huge affection for him. I just, unless he's really motivated, I can't do it for him. I'm helpless. I'm powerless.
Would you mind sticking around for another break?
Sure, of course.
Okay, cool. Dr. Drew is here. The show is Celebrity Rehab Presents Sober House. Tonight at 10 o'clock on VH1 and every Thursday.
Okay, loud, loud.
Kevin DeBean Show, K-Rock 841. Dr. Drew Pinsky in the studio with us. He's got a new show on tonight. This is the first airing, right?
First show tonight. These first three really are about Steven Adler and his struggles. And oh boy. He's going to be on Loveline tonight, as a matter of fact.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh.
And so will Jen. Because this is a sober living, it's sober people living together, trying to stay sober and establish their lives in sobriety. There's another person, sort of a house manager, mm-hmm. that's had some more time, and that's Jen Jimenez in our case, and she'll be on Loveline tonight too.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah.
Steven Adler, for folks who don't recognize the name, is the guy who, and here's the one sentence that you said so often on Celebrity Rehab that really sums it up, was thrown out of Guns N' Roses for being on too many drugs.
Yeah.
I mean, that really says it all right there.
That's all you got to know.
When a guy like that comes in, isn't your first nature just to kind of size up his ability to make it get out of it? And doesn't he seem like a lost cause?
He had never had more than 4 days of sobriety since the age of 11.
My God.
His longest sobriety was... I actually had to go out and get him because he got unstable before we started shooting. So I went out and got him 2 weeks ahead, put him in Las Encinas, stabilized him because I thought he was too sick to go directly into residential.
Right.
And he did pretty well. I mean, you know, part of the deal, Kevin, is how people respond to treatment, not just how long they were sick. And he was responding. He was cooperative. He was willing. He was doing the things we need to do. The problem with Steven is he needs long-term treatment because of the chronicity of his problem.
Yeah. Chronicity. I need to start using that word.
Doctor, this may be an impossible question, or maybe it's just too broad an answer for you to address here, but you've got teenage kids at home, and a lot of our listeners do too. How do you head it off at the pass? How do you stop your kids from heading down this path in the first place so that they don't end up like some of the people you end up treating?
Yeah, it's a complicated question. And to some extent, you have no control over that. To some extent.
You want to do drugs with them when they're teenagers, right?
Yes, that seems to be the general trend in America.
What would you tell Kevin? Kevin is a perfect example. He's a guy who's got kids that are just now getting to the age where they'll start thinking about drugs.
There's sort of series of things you have to entertain. One is look at the risk. Is there a biological genetic heritage of addiction in your family? If there is, educate them about that, help them understand the risk, particularly any exposure prior to the age of 15 amplifies that risk dramatically. So you, above all else, you want to keep them free of alcohol until they've passed 15. That's a very important goal. In fact, interestingly, that exposure to alcohol data exists in other mammals too. Equivalent age, middle adolescent, if you expose a rat to alcohol, it amplifies their alcohol use later. So there's something developmentally biological about that, number one.
Where do you go to find drunk rats, by the way?
Tons of research on that, just so you know. So that's one issue. The other issue is, you know, how do you help them not make those choices? And that's about talking and education, whatnot. And then the other thing, and American parents just hate to do this, adolescents don't understand loose parameters. They understand black and white. So you have to have very clear expectations. This is not okay. And an easy one I encourage parents to maintain is you don't tolerate illegal activities. Anything illegal. It's illegal to drink at the age of 21. I didn't make that law. It's illegal. I don't tolerate illegal activities. And as the parent, as someone, as a professional who's seen what happens when people don't do the tough, tough job of parenting, I'm committed to the parenting, which is about dropping the axe. So if you do something illegal, I will see to it that the proper people are notified and I will not bail you out, and try me. And that's that.
Well, I'm glad I'm not your kid, you know. And if you want to see parents talking to their kids about sex, that brings up Sex with Mom and Dad. That's,
you know,
on MTV.
We're filming that right now, season 2. I'm telling you, season 2 of that show is excellent. It is really good. It's a show that was kind of a good idea that we kind of pieced together, but this upcoming season of that, which will probably be out in February, March, really, I'm very proud of it. And a little bit of cringy at first.
Yeah, I don't want my mom to tell me about the flaming zombie. I mean, you know what I mean? I don't want her to
talk about what she did.
Yeah.
But the reason for that, and some of this is sort of missed on the audience, is that it's talking to kids that are in trouble. These kids are all in trouble.
Okay.
And they're already acting out. And so trying to get them to listen to their parents, one of the ways to do it is to get the parents to talk about why they're emotionally having such a reaction to what the kids are doing, because they've been there, they had the consequence. It's almost like taking a recovering drug addict and saying, let's be part of my recovery here. This is what happened to me and my... Otherwise, by the way, if you're not a recovering addict, do not, just a rule of thumb, do not discuss with your kids anything you don't want them to do. Because if you say, I did X when I was 15, that is issuing a license to do X. Because their thinking is, well, you're a hypocrite, so not let me do it.
Right.
You did it, you're fine. So
never admit to any drug use? Or?
No, I have to admit, don't ever lie to your kids. But certain things just aren't open for discussion. Just don't discuss it.
But if they
the
say,
whole do as I say, not as I do, that doesn't work.
No, absolutely does not. But then they go, oh, it means you did it. That is an entirely different impact than saying, hey, okay, let me tell you what happened when I did.
Right.
And now, if you're an addict, you have to do that. You have to.
Because they have the genes.
And they need to be a part of the recovery process. You're in treatment. You're recovering. You got to do it. But if it's not that, you know, when they're in their 20s or something, it's a different matter.
Right.
But in the teens, you just go, look, here's what I expect from you. Don't, whatever I did or didn't do, not going to discuss. Not a
Dr. Drew, what is it you think that so fascinated you about humans that you went into all the various lines of work that you did?
What is it
so attractive about this work to you?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. And talking to somebody with Asperger's, it must be a really mystifying kind of a thing because humans are mysterious and sort of distant and hard to understand.
I don't want to have anything to do with any humans ever.
Right. Yeah. And that's the exact opposite.
You're the opposite.
I have a different pathology, which is I'm overly invested. I experience myself through other people. And so I'm overly interested and invested in a way that I'm just fascinated.
Do you see a therapist?
Oh, I did for a long, long, long,
so
long time.
So you can say, hey, I'm...
Oh, I had to do the work I do. I have to be clear on my own stuff.
Right.
Very
interesting.
I mean, years and years. I keep thinking about going back and doing analysis. I'd love to do that.
Really?
Yeah.
Everybody.
Oh, interesting.
Every time we see Dr. Drew, and it's the same no matter where we see him, people pull him aside and say, "Hey, got a question."
Oh yeah.
What's the question that most people pull you aside and ask you? Because you're the only expert that most people.
I think it really goes under the heading of, "Am I normal? Do I have a problem?"
And it's just with drugs or alcohol,
anything.
Or whatever.
Oh, yeah, all kinds of stuff, and almost without exception, the
just
answer
say yes.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, you're asking
if
me
you have
that.
To ask.
Yeah, it's like yeah. Here's some suggestions, and I actually have a book coming out in March called "The Mirror Effect" about celebrities and their pathologies.
How do you have time to write a book?
You know what? People don't appreciate how difficult practicing medicine is full time. When I was doing 16 hours a day of medicine. That was hard. Now I've got a little jigsaw puzzle. I do different things every day. I do some medicine. I do some coming on radio shows and stuff. This is fun. You know, as opposed to seeing six patients in this hour, having the responsibility for their follow-up, communicating to their family, figuring out how to – I mean, that's stress.
So Dr. Drew doesn't care about patients. That's what we're
doing. No, what I'm saying is doing that full-time is very, very stressful and becomes unfun after a while. And so I do it now on my own terms when I want to do it. So.
Okay. Let me ask you a final question, Dr. Drew, because as much as we love you, we are just about out of time here.
First of all, I'm sure you get asked this all the time. How dare you, Dean? I'm insulted.
You get asked this all the time, but – Amber Smith, the supermodel who's in the sober house tonight and was on Celebrity.
She's
Camp.
A patient. I'm just going to ask,
could you hit that if you wanted to?
No, absolutely, categorically no.
Really?
Let's say
you were to use your power for evil.
If I were an evil person,
yes.
There's no doubt I could. And I am, I mean, I'm disgusted by people that do that kind of thing. So I have disgust for that. So I could never, ever, ever do it.
I have admiration for that. If you came in here today and said, I pulled Amber Smith, we would say, right on.
Right. See, Bean and I are on the exact opposite poles of the human continuum.
And aren't you glad?
That's true of every human being, by the way, and Bean.
Yeah. Well, no, it's especially me.
Okay. All right.
I'm just saying what would it hurt. That's all. All right. The show looks great, just like Celebrity Rehab 1 and 2 was. It is called Sober House.
It's very intense. I'm premieres buckle tonight. Up for this one, guys. This one's intense.
Are you not doing any more Celebrity Rehab before we go?
There's a couple things we're talking about doing. No, we're talking about doing stuff. We haven't just scheduled anything yet.
Okay.
There is definitely one thing's going to happen and maybe a couple more. You just keep watching these shows and people. You know, here's the deal. You guys watch the shows.
Yep.
We'll do more of them, I'm sure.
Okay.
And my concern for this upcoming show is can it be properly casted? I mean, there are people that really want help that we can cast. We'll see.
Well, there's always Weiland. You can start there.
I don't know if you'd do it. I mean, we'll see.
Poor Scott.
I love that guy. And I do too. All these guys that have bad addiction are usually great, great guys.
Yep.
That's one of the joys and heartbreaks of this condition.
Sure.
So,
well, Dr. Drew, always fascinating to spend time with you, man. It goes by too quick, but thanks a lot for stopping. Good
o'clock
with the new show, too.
10 o'clock tonight, VH1. Check it out.
Jiffy Lube, lube it or lose it. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
What she said.
Yeah, it is, actually.
8:54, time for the Ralph Show.
Just want to let everyone know
All is well on the Jonas Brothers Wikipedia page.
Wow. Why? What happened?
What big disaster happened?
Yesterday, Wikipedia, the page was apparently hacked.
Oh, no.
And when you went there to see the extensive life and history of the Jonas Brothers, the only thing posted on that page in Wikipedia was, the Jonas Brothers have genital warts. That's the only thing that was on there.
That's the problem with Wikipedia, is if I can change it, it's not reliable.
Yeah. Say, oh, I got that information from Wikipedia. So that is like saying that homeless guy in front of 7-Eleven told you when you gave him a dollar.
1 in 3 gay males may have genital anal warts.
Including the Jonas Brothers.
Wow.
But the company has gone back and repaired that. So don't worry, Jonas Brothers fans.
It's by the way, I'm confused by the Jonas Brothers because two of them look alike. They're like good-looking Jewish kids. And then there's the little Mexican one out front. What? How are they all brothers?
They got him at Home Depot.
There's something, yeah, there's something weird. Like maybe they needed three, but they already had two, so they went out and got one. I don't know what the deal is, but there's no way those three are related. I'm sorry. There's a scandal there somewhere.
They were going to a gig, need someone to load in their equipment, and so they went by Home Depot and threw them in the back of the pickup.
Did somebody order Mexican?
Sounds likely.
And they adopted him as their own. It's a heartwarming story.
That is nice.
Amy Poehler from Saturday Night Live is getting her own sitcom.
She's great.
It's going to be on NBC, and we now know what the sitcom will be about. The storyline and plot had been a highly guarded secret over there at NBC, but they've just released what it's going to be. It's going to be an Office-like mockumentary.
Okay.
Just like The Office, only Amy Poehler will play a character named LeslieNope.com. Who is a mid-level bureaucrat in the Parks and Recreation Department of the local government of Pawnee, Indiana.
Okay.
All right.
So it's going to be what the office does to your average business environment. This will do for a small-town government, which sounds like a funny concept.
Sounds funny.
You like her, Ralph?
I do. I like her a lot.
I think she's very talented.
I think she's very, very funny. And I think this is a good vehicle for her. It'll be shot like the documentary, a handheld camera kind of deal. And it'll be about her and her hopes for a political future, including her goal of becoming the first president of the United States.
Okay.
First female president of the United States. So it sounds like a lot of potential there. Rashida Jones, by the way, from The Office. Co-stars.
Oh. Wish I could ask her a question or two.
I wish you could, too.
You know?
I wish Psycho Mike could find you asking her a question The Office.
I wished he was even trying.
I am, ass.
I remember when we had her in and you asked her a question about The Office. I just remember that.
No time. Move on.
Got plenty of time.
Got it.
Nothing but time.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Did you know that going into when you started on the second office, when you were on the outside office, not the one, main one?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Not edited.
Not edited,
not
by the
edited.
Way.
Not edited. That happened for real.
On TV.
And no answer.
Yeah, so, well, because her head exploded.
So what does that tell you?
Tell you she's not crazy. If she had understood what you were asking, I'd be concerned for her mental health.
Yeah, that's true.
And finally, we have a confirmation. It is happening. The Arrested Development movie is on.
Awesome.
Come on!
That's a great show.
Will Arnett told E! News, for once and for all, the Arrested Development movie is happening. So we've got solid confirmation from one of the stars of the show. Will Arnett, Jason Bateman, and producer Mitch Hurwitz are working together on a new animated series for Fox called Sit Down and Shut Up. And they talked a little bit about Arrested Development and said everyone's on board, except with the possible holdout of Michael Cera.
Really? He's the first name I thought of who may have too much of a movie career now.
That's exactly the reason. Apparently, he's got a very full plate.
He was
after
the kid
success
from Juno,
with
right?
Juno yeah. and Superbad.
Superbad, yeah.
He's a big hit in that. He's got a lot of films.
Nick and Nora.
How about that?
So he's got to try to find some time. He wants to, but it's just a matter of scheduling at this point. So
it's criminal that that show was canceled after 3 seasons. That's the type of show that should have run for 10 years.
Easily.
Yeah, if you haven't seen that, those seasons on DVD would be a great gift. That's super fun to watch. That's a good show.
Yep. Today's celebrity birthdays, director John Carpenter celebrates his birthday today, as do actors Mario Van Peebles and Chad Lowe. Regina King also celebrates her birthday, and Eddie Cahill from CSI New York. Just too many initials on television these days. By the way, speaking of CSI, a little sad. A little bummed out.
Oh, because what's his name's leaving?
Tonight's Gil Grissom's last case.
Oh.
A little sad.
He's going to go do local theater.
Is he?
Really? Yeah, he's going to do Chicago theater. That's what he's going to go back to. He's got a theater company there, but apparently that's his plan is to go back. He's got more money than God. He doesn't need the job.
How's Larry Fishburne doing? Has he been meshing? Yeah. Is he good?
You haven't been watching?
I don't watch CSI.
Lawrence Fishburne is good in anything, I think.
He's a great actor. I just don't watch anything on CBS. But it was really interesting. I boycott that channel.
How they folded him into the storyline this season. The season started with them trying to find a serial killer, or perhaps a copycat of a serial killer. And this Lawrence Fishburne played a college professor who is fascinated by serial killers, has a degree in forensic science, and has a class. And Gil Grissom has to go in to his class and try to pick his brain about this particular killer they're trying to catch. So that's how they kind of spark up a relationship. So they're really sort of, you know, dovetailing him into the series as opposed to just him showing up tonight saying, I'm the new guy.
Hey, I'm here.
Where's my desk? So Lawrence Fishburne takes over for William Peterson tonight. Just another case of the black man taking the white man's job. That's all I'm saying.
White man can't get anything going anymore.
Black man keeping the white man down. That's all I'm talking about.
That's the way it's been, man.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph, and thanks again to Dr. Drew Pinsky for stopping by. Don't miss Celebrity Rehab presents Sober House. That's tonight at 10 on the VH1. We have a huge show tomorrow. Am I right?
We do. We have Olivia Wilde from House.
If you keep that up, I'm not even coming in. Not that you care.
We have
Gosh, Lisa, no, please come in.
Say that's
we're
not Olivia
Wilde here.
You to the punch.
Because I might even notice if you don't show up.
Movie beat, Andrew Siciliano, talking NFL. Ralph and I got to bet something on the weekend.
Big, big weekend.
And this afternoon, we are going to play you a bunch of ridiculous Obama songs.
How dare you?
Everybody who thinks they can write songs has written a song about Obama, and they're not good.
So. Why don't you just crap on their enthusiasm and their patriotism? Why don't you just do that?
No, their songs are bad. I'll crap on their songs if you don't mind. And also, you are
you didn't.
You are you're ruining the economy and the earth if you use Google. We'll tell you about that.
Oh no,
that's what I hear.
Killed a planet.
5 o'clock this afternoon.
All right, so we'll see you back here at 5, but don't go anywhere. Cat Corbett is next with 40 Minutes Nonstop. Lifeline is the new one from Papa Roach. She'll be playing that for you. Also, The Killers, Nirvana, Offspring, and more next on K-Rock. First, though, we want to talk about this coming Tuesday. President-elect Barack Obama takes the oath of office in Washington. He will be number 44. Look, whatever you think about the guy, and I just I pulled the lever and hope for the best, but whatever you think about the guy, I think it's neat to see how much optimism and excitement there is about this new administration coming in.
I do, too.
And I don't remember the last time there were people out there posting videos on YouTube talking about politics or talking about, you know, singing songs about the man. I mean, I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah, but you haven't heard the songs. The songs are terrible. That's a bad transition.
But that's not the point, though. The point
isn't
that the songs
are
bad.
My point is these are bad songs.
But they're excited about the president. That's what's important here, Kevin.
Here's a reggae song from Coco T called Barack Obama's Reggae Song.
Them say Barack Obama, Barack Obama, Barack Obama, boy, boy. Now you can hear it in the morning, Obama, and you can hear it in the evening, Obama. Black man and white woman shouting, Obama. Them in the groove and them is moving, Obama.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Maybe we don't need that one. Okay.
These are people who can't write regular songs, but they are excited about this.
Yes.
So they try to write a song about Obama. This is Steel Pulse, Barack Obama song. Here you go. Here's another reggae.
Put Barack, Barack. Put Barack, Barack. Obama. To put the country in the right direction. To fight injustice and stop corruption. Put Barack, Barack.
I don't know how you can tell a good reggae song from another, so maybe that's good.
Now, Steel Pulse, though, is a real reggae band that's been making records for 25 years or something like that, so at least they're professionals. But you're saying a lot of these YouTube videos are just yahoos that have decided to sing, right?
Well, there is the European Obama song. This is a parody of Will.i.am, Yo Mama.
Oh, okay.
I got it from my mama, that one.
Yeah.
Tell me where'd you get your education, baby, where'd you get your education? Tell me where'd you get your education, baby, where'd you get your education?
I got it from Obama. I got it from Obama.
Yeah.
I got it from Obama. I got it.
Baby, where'd you get your health care from? Tell me where'd you get your health care from. Baby, where'd you get your health care from? Tell me where'd you get your health care from.
I got it from Obama.
A lot of work.
I got it from Obama. I got it from Obama.
Not a lot of work on that one.
But not repetitive, so that's good.
That's good.
That is a terrible song.
That's a terrible song.
I'm ready to close down YouTube now.
We found a Please Vote Obama, and we understand that's a little bit late, but I would like to play it because it's Rihanna. Please Don't Stop the Music.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Based on that was a song she did on the Michael Jackson song, and now this is a parody of that.
Yes, we can change for a better day. Come and take us away from the old to the new, better U.S. of A. You're the lies of the sun. Now we're becoming one.
there's a little taste of that one.
What would people have done if Hillary Clinton had won? That's almost impossible to run.
Good point.
And finally, I am sure you've heard Lil Wayne's Millie.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Millie Obama remix, and this might be my favorite.
This is the best one by far.
Because this guy does it all with his mouth, and it's not good.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next president of the United States of America, Barack
Obama, 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 Obama,
APT!
Obama, 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 Obama,
call him president, he's the next new president. He is senator from Illinois. Yeah, his criteria compared to John McCain is isn't fair, cause he's BLAC, so the eyes are on T. Through his pencil, he write legislation with the country on his mind, and he don't cope this, cause he ain't got time. Every second, minute, hour, KKK wanna devour. He got guards ready to pop him with their choppers. Every brother, mother, sister, cousin, grandma wanna hump him. Even got Hillary Clinton on the side ready to jump him. Tell the Clintons,
yeah.
I can't wait for this guy to leave office. Let me tell you about a guy, Kevin, named Alex Wisner Gross from Harvard University who can suck my brown eye.
Wow.
He is out talking about a study that says Google searches. You know when you go to your computer and you type in Britney Spears naked into your search engine and you want to get some pictures, right?
Right.
A Google search has a definite environmental impact. Apparently, every time you do a search on your computer, it's the equivalent of 20,000 light bulbs. I don't even know what the deal is.
Stop it.
I'm confused by how this all works, so we thought there's only one expert in the Rolodex that we have to go to, and that's the former Vice President of the United States, our friend Al Gore, Mr. Environment, joins us on the Kevin DeBeach Show here on the World Famous K-Rock. Good morning, Al. How are you?
Al?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're good in the afternoon, sir.
Oh, good afternoon. Is it afternoon there?
It is, yes.
I'm in Japan.
Okay. Well, listen, Mr. Gore, I don't know if you heard the intro before we brought you on, but what about this? A Google search has a definite environmental impact. How is that possible? Beyond the electricity that my computer uses, what other effect can it possibly have on the Earth?
Well, you have to understand that your end of Google is just one half of the equation.
What's the name of the company? I'm sorry.
Google.
Okay.
When you make a request of Google, that request goes to their huge data centers.
Right.
And they have such large data centers all over the world that it expends an enormous amount of energy to get you your response.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So, like any other company that has a large facility with a lot of employees and a lot of machinery, of course that's going to generate something. But it doesn't really make any difference how many Google searches are being fed into that, right?
No, it does.
It does.
Because the way the engine works is they have several servers operating at once.
Who does?
Google.
Okay.
And what they do is they operate all those servers. And then whoever produces the answer fastest gets sent back to you to minimize delays.
Right.
I see. Okay. So it seems like there's nothing we can do. If I'm breathing right now, that's detrimental to the air, right?
Well, the average Google search uses about the same amount of carbon dioxide as boiling a kettle of water for a cup of tea.
No kidding.
Is that a lot? I don't know what that takes.
Oh, if we would all stop drinking tea, it'd be like taking 400 million cars off the road.
Now, is that an accurate statistic, or are you just making that up?
Just making it up.
All right. Okay.
But it's a good way to motivate people to lessen their carbon footprint.
Okay.
By threatening them with that car thing.
How else can I find naked pictures of Britney Spears, though? What do you recommend, Mr. Vice President?
I recommend you don't find naked pictures of Britney Spears.
Oh, okay.
Because she's still fat.
Okay, well, that maybe isn't the point. All right.
Find a hotter chick.
Okay, so
make it worth a while for the planet to die.
But we're not killing the planet when we do it.
You are. You're killing the planet.
When we just search on Google?
Yeah.
Are they going to shut down if I don't search today?
I'm sorry, what?
The answer is no.
I didn't understand the question either, Al.
What was the question? Never mind the answer.
Let's say I go to yahoo.com and I search from there.
Okay.
No problem with the Earth?
Less of a problem, but still a problem. I suggest you stop using the computer completely.
But you invented the Internet. How can you now tell us to turn our back on it?
I regret it.
Wow. Oh, I see.
Although
okay.
I am working on a new pedal-powered computer that'll be easier for you to use. But like, there's lots of things we need to stop dehooing in order to save the planet.
Well, we don't want to go over that again, Mr. Roy. We've seen the Inconvenient Truth movie. We know about the polar bears. I mean, aren't we doing enough?
No. It's getting worse.
Oh.
In fact, I suggest everyone stop heating your food.
Altogether?
What? Yeah.
Won't we get sick?
Because if this energy is used to make a cup of tea, imagine how much energy you use to cook a steak or some broccoli.
Well, how much?
Lots.
You don't want us to just eat raw food.
No. I want you all to start eating this new product I've developed called Gahorsicles.
I'm sorry?
Gahorsicles.
Gahorsicles.
That's right.
And what is that?
These are frozen foods that you eat frozen, but they provide with you all the necessary protein you need to get through your day.
But don't you have to use electricity in a freezer to keep them all cold?
Ah, no, because we make them in the North Pole.
But I don't live in the North Pole.
We just open the windows.
Really?
And we freeze the gore essence, it's called, to make things the Gahorsicles.
Oh, I'm afraid of the Gahorsicle now.
No.
And if you want to keep it cold, I can just send you some ice.
I don't think you thought this went through, Mr. Vice President.
I'm still working on it.
All right. Well, I guess we've learned a little something else here today. Thanks, Al.
The Gahorsicles come in several flavors.
I'm sure they do. They?
My favorite is salty.
Okay, we got to go. 106.7, K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde.
You got to rent yourself out, Ralph, as a guy who will show up at recording studios all over town and add the hand claps and the hey to the end of their songs, because you're really good at it.
I didn't even do it, so f*** you.
That's not, okay. You can't, all right. Wow. That was Psycho Mike Bean, yeah. But,
wow.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Whichever one. All okay. White guys look alike to me.
Don't be making judgments from your island. Be in the room before you start pointing fingers.
Cinco de la Tarde, time for the showbiz beat for a Thursday afternoon. What's going on, Ralph?
Hey, earlier today they announced the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees.
Oh. Okay.
Pretty cool list. Run DMC, inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Well deserved?
Yeah.
Sure.
I think so. Metallica, also inducted?
Sure.
Legendary guitarist Jeff Beck.
Oh.
Bobby Womack, who yeah. is a someone I don't know.
I don't know who that is either.
R&B singer.
Okay. Okay. Little Anthony and the Imperials, old doo-wop band from the 50s. They've been inducted.
Okay.
As has Wanda Jackson. Woo! Oh, she Jackson. Is for real. Who's Wanda Jackson?
Female rockabilly singer.
Oh, that sounds horrible.
No, she's good.
That
she's
real sounds good. F-ing miserable.
She's very popular for a short time. She was known as the female Elvis. She was so popular.
Well, then let's put her in the Hall of Fame if she was known for the short time as the female Elvis.
For how long? You need a month, would you say?
Let's put her in, by all means.
Are they out? Years, baby.
Hey, whatever happened to that lady we used to call the female Elvis
let's
years
bring her
ago?
Back.
Remember her? Yeah, Wanda Jackson. Okay, let's put her in the Hall of Fame because I think we're out. Wanda Jackson. Sad news for people who like sex with other people's husbands and wives everywhere.
Yeah.
Swingtown has been canceled by CBS.
Really?
No real surprise. Ratings were not great for the series when it aired during the summer, but it's officially been announced today that Swingtown will no longer be on CBS.
So. No!
I like that show. That was very entertaining.
I kind of did, too.
It was a sort of a 70s flashbacky kind of deal, but...
yeah, it sucked.
It was good. Hey, hey!
Did you ever see it, Kevin?
I did. I watched about half of it. It was bad.
You did.
Half of one episode?
Of one episode.
Yes! Well, with that kind of commitment, sure. I could see why
I can judge in 10 seconds if a TV show is going to be good or bad.
You can't remember for 10 seconds what show you're watching.
That's true, too.
I'm sorry because Grant Cho's mustache was so awesome. I hate to see that taken off the tube.
It was. You know, he was rocking a spectacular stash. And more TV news. Jay, no, not Jay-Z. RJ. No, not RJ. Ray J will be getting his own show.
Oh, you need some help there?
Yeah.
He's the one that was in the sex video with
yes,
Kardashian.
Kim Kardashian. Yeah.
He's Brandy's little brother.
Yes.
Brandy's little brother, Ray J.
Jack Rabbit style?
He's getting his own reality show.
Wow.
Called For the Love of Ray J.
Nope.
It will involve 14... I'm sure wholesome young ladies vying for the love of Ray J. These are from the producers of Flavor of Love.
Rock of Love, I Love Money, and other classic shows.
Shows that have love in the title.
Yep.
They do good work.
The ladies will go by such aliases as Atomic Bomb, Cashmere, and Caviar. They will be competing for Ray J.
All right. Let me know how that goes.
He's earned it.
Did you guys see the...
He's earned what?
He's earned...
His own show?
The
he's
right
his own
to have
show?
Women fight over him, because he...
Because of the sex tape?
Destroys.
Did you guys see the sex tape, though? Did you?
Yeah,
Mike, you saw
yeah,
it. He spent almost the entire time talking to the camera.
Yeah.
She was in the background, super hot.
Total waste of that ass.
He wasn't paying any attention to her whatsoever. It's all about him.
Yeah. That's why they gave him his own show, because he'd rather be on television than be putting in some time with Kim Kardashian. Which I find inexcusable.
Yeah. He probably is one of those celebrities, you know, young, good-looking, popular kid who bangs so many girls that that's not that interesting to him anymore, and he'd rather spend his time building a bigger career.
But will he be as interesting without the sex part of the show, with just the show part of the show?
That's a good point.
No.
So then they should show his
I think. Okay, you can't just say that on the
air.
They
should just show him knee-deep in Kardashian.
That's a new show coming on VH1, I think. What's with the ants in this place, by the way? There's ants all over my report.
There are ants everywhere at K-Rock. They are about to carry the station away.
Apparently they killed the gnats.
I don't know what happened. Now we need a frog to get the ants and then a cat to swallow the frog. And
we are living in biblical end times where there's a different plague every month at K-Rock for some reason.
I hate them.
The ants are very angry.
Today's celebrity birthdays, John Carpenter. Very talented film director who gave us such classics as Escape from New York.
Halloween. Was he Halloween?
The Thing.
Assault on Precinct 13.
Assault on Precinct 13. Talented guy. 61 years old today. Mario Van Peebles, the actor, is 52. Chad Lowe is 41 years old today. He, the brother of Rob Lowe, and also as one time was married to Hillary Swank. He's 41. Regina King, talented actress, is 38. And Eddie Cahill, one of the stars of CSI New York, is 31 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. And tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show, it seems to me that there's some business that has to be decided between Kevin, whose Arizona Cardinals are playing this weekend, versus Ralph's Philadelphia Eagles. Let's not forget that there needs to be some sort of wager presented tomorrow.
Andrew Siciliano from DirecTV will be in the studio to talk about the NFL matchups this weekend. We also have Olivia Wilde. On the What is all that? Is that good?
Yeah. Very
okay.
Good.
She's on House, and she's going to be on the program tomorrow on the Kevin and Bean show. Back to you, Bean.
All right. Can we just stay and wait for Olivia Wilde? Do we have to go home, or can we just? I want to make sure we don't miss it. That's all I'm saying. How about Nicole Alvarez up next with 60 minutes of nonstop commercial-free K-Rock music just for you, including Kings of Leon, also Bad Religion, Foo Fighters, Weezer, Chili Peppers, and more next on K-Rock.